much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All units in place. All weapons ready. We are standing by awaiting orders. Over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
At the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
All right. You're great, zombie. Good times here at the Waterfront Village. Open for the next 11 days.
You know how there are some things that are so bad that they're funny? That's not you. I don't want you thinking that that's you. You're not so bad that you're entertaining somehow, or that you have any worth, or that anybody enjoys listening to you. You're just bad. Just not funny. Just die.
And now.
Why are you playing bongos?
It's Monday. Monday's bongo day.
Our feature presentation.
We haven't really been celebrating that.
No, we dropped the ball early on Bongo Day.
I think we should, though.
Monday is Bongo Day.
It kind of makes me happy.
I don't watch the new Scrubs without Zach Braff. Has anybody else checked that out? I decided not to.
I have not.
Yeah, it's fine.
Once he left. Is it all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
I didn't know how many of the people from the old Scrubs were coming back. So
a lot of them. I mean, and it's one of those shows that even on its worst day, it's better than most average shows.
Right, that's true.
Yeah. You know?
Hey, we're going to take your telephone calls for the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Mondays are very exciting because we always unveil the new prize. We have an amazing, amazing offer for you today. So 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize from the Kevin and Bean Show. How was everybody's weekend?
It's great.
Fantastic.
Beautiful outside, wasn't it?
It was really nice, yes.
Yeah.
Lisa, I bet you went to a play.
I went to a play, and I went to a movie, and I saw Kevin at the movie.
Saw Lisa. Did the popcorn
really?
Trick. Yep. All
popcorn
in one
trick!
Day. All in one day.
We had quite the weekend.
Yes, we did.
What'd you guys go see?
Cop Out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what we saw.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
Sean William Scott.
Funny.
Right.
Really
I'm familiar
funny.
With the movie. Right.
Tracy and Morgan. Very funny.
Right. He's also in it, but.
What do you mean, but?
And that's my review.
And then popcorn trick. What? There's nothing else. What are you talking about?
Well, a lot of times when, you know, somebody at work says, hey, I went to a movie this weekend, you say the follow-up question is, how was it?
Oh, how was it?
Sean William Scott's really funny.
Tracy Morgan's really funny. There you go.
Okay.
There's your review.
All right. Mm-hmm. Say no more. By the way, Psycho Mike, am I the only one who's thinking how curious it is that Lisa and Kevin would coincidentally show up in the same dark place together, although they arrived separately? So by all appearances outside the theater, there's nothing going on.
Yeah, and they happen to leave the theater and enjoyed their movie in quotes.
Right.
Kevin's walking funny. And-
shouldn't it be me?
Why shouldn't
walking?
It be Lisa
walking Kevin
funny?
Walking funny?
I don't know. Yeah, Lisa really worked him.
Apparently so. But I'm just saying, that's just classic behaviors. All right, we'll take separate cars, and I'll show up 15 minutes after you, so no one will see us walk in together. But boom, dark theater, you're
right.
In business.
I know.
Well, we were in business.
It does sound like something like a shady senator would be doing, you know, and have to admit in a press conference.
Was I tapping my foot
yeah.
in the stall? That's kind of exactly. activity that was going on.
All right. Well, we have a very full show today. We do not want to fall behind, so let's get right to your calls. 1-800-520-1067. What to do, nephew, is on the air. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What
to
do, what to do,
what
to do.
What to do, nephew.
So, what to do.
What to do, nephew.
All right. I mentioned that we had a very special offer for you today, but unless it's been found in the last 30 seconds, I don't know what it is.
Oh, you all just right. said that? You had no idea what it was?
Well, the paperwork's missing. We haven't been able to locate any paperwork. I think we're making some phone calls, but I just saw intern Gaga walk in, so I thought maybe she had
uncovered. Oh, here it is. A brand new car.
Woo-hoo!
Well, I'm
for
not
every
sure.
caller.
I don't think that's
prize
right.
valued at $79,000.
I believe someone may try to claim that now that you've said it on the air, so we should make an immediate disclaimer.
So
brand
we
new
don't
car
have
not included.
A new car. Not right. We don't know what you win. You just get a grab bag. You're yep. just going to have to trust us on this one.
Just calling in because you want to.
Yeah, why don't you just do it for us for this once?
Yeah.
We have to pay you every
Son
time.
Of a bitch.
But it could be awesome. I mean, imagine that it's an awesome prize is what we're saying.
Well, Kevin offered a car and you rejected it. Now
well,
what?
Because we don't have cars to give away and I know that somehow we'll be liable.
All right, it's tickets to the Pac-10 tournament at Staples Center. That's what it is. College basketball. Basketball men's tournament on March 10th. Okay. You got a four-pack of tickets.
All right. Well, that's nice for some people.
It's not a car.
Am I making that up? You decide.
Why are they hiding it from us? Is this information too hot to transfer to us?
It's too hot to handle.
Too much information.
All right. Let's try Mike. I've been dying to talk about this on the air anyway. He's on line two. He's got a call. Hey, Mike. Thanks for dialing up the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I saw the greatest infomercial this weekend for the Shake Weight.
The what?
Yes.
Shake Weight?
It's the newest weight loss muscle building thing. It looks like it's a regular dumbbell.
Mm-hmm.
And you hold it with two hands, and then you shake it up and down or vertical or horizontal. And it looks like the greatest marital aid you've ever seen.
What? I don't even understand what this is.
Let me see if I can describe it.
Take a run at it, Bean.
Let me take a run at it. Imagine it looks like a dumbbell. It's a tube-like object that a woman in the commercial is shaking up and down with her hand. If you can picture
vertically?
What that looks like.
Is
yes.
she shaking it vertically?
Yes, she's shaking it vertically.
Why?
And it's been what's it supposed to do? What would that do to you, Mike?
I guess.
You know how those old increase my bust things of the 60s.
Yeah, okay, that's the word we were trying to avoid. That's what we were trying not to say in the detailed description. So it's been a viral YouTube sensation for months now, ever since the commercials went on the air, and people just can't believe it's real because it's so overtly sexual that you can't imagine that the people who made the commercial didn't go, well, even if that's how you use it, we can't show that on TV because no one will be able to look at it with a straight face. So I'm in Denny's the other day, and there's a woman sitting at a table nearby who brought hers in with her. I guess she's one of these people who believes in doing the isometric exercises, whatever she has a minute. She's just trying to work it in.
Uh-huh.
And she's sitting at the table with her shake weight.
Yeah.
Shaking it up and down like this forever.
Right.
There's no way I could eat. It's crazy. You've never seen anything like it.
Shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. So anyway, you definitely have to check out, do a search for Shake Weight.
You'll enjoy. I will. Never right. heard of this.
Let's go to Ruben. Hi, Ruben.
Hello, what to do, nephew?
Hi, what to do?
Hi, what to do?
What to do, baby boo?
Hello.
So we were in Vegas over the weekend, and we were at a club at the Mirage, and they had a celebrity guest. It was the General.
Yes.
Oh, that's
was it
right.
Jet? What was it, Jet Nightclub?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jet Nightclub. The crowd was going crazy.
The General is pants on the ground, dude.
Right.
For those of you who don't recognize, yeah.
It was my girlfriend's first time hearing him, so I had to deal with her singing it the entire weekend.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, because if you hear it once.
Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground.
It's pretty hard to get out of your head. So nope. If she had just heard it for the first time this weekend, I guess you were screwed.
We were talking about this late last week, and we were saying if you're drunk and you're, drunk, that guy comes out, whether you know it or not, you're going to laugh, I think. Was that the experience?
True. It was hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a great time.
All right. Good time.
But he's done now, though, right?
I'm done. Are you kidding?
I mean, this was booked when he was red hot after he made the appearance on American Idol. But
right.
Now he's got to be wrapping up his previously scheduled engagement.
And by wrapping up, you mean kicking off a world tour.
Let's talk to Brian. He's on line five on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to Monday, Brian. Thanks for calling. What it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
Hey, I was just curious, getting close to that time of year when you guys are going to start the Christmas light police.
It is March. You're right about that.
Yeah, there are a lot of times during, in the month of March when we would have people call and say, hey, still got your Christmas lights up. How about taking those down? You're about 3 months behind.
Right.
Exactly. If you need names and people, I can do it. I got a lot of people to embarrass.
All right.
Okay.
Start emailing them.
Okay.
All right.
Guys, I still have my
know.
Tree. You do?
Up. I still have my
Your tree.
Up.
Tree?
Yeah.
How is it not completely dead?
Because it's plastic.
Are you just going to leave it up till next year?
Well, it's so late in the year now that possibility has occurred to me that maybe what's the point of taking it down if we just got to put it up again in 6 months? But yeah, it's still up.
You are the laziest human being I've ever seen.
Well, you knew that, but it's still up and it's still decorated. I mean, we had a reason to have it up after the first of the year because there were some people that we were trying to get together with to exchange gifts, and we were going to do it at our house, and we thought, hey, let's just leave the tree up, until that event happens, and then sometime in mid-January, we ended up doing it off campus at a different location, and then we just never got around to taking the tree
down.
You
went home and took it down?
It's well, no, wow. It's still. It's a, well, I know it's it does hurt me every day.
But first of all, every single call-in topic that we have, every single topic that we cover here, Bean is goes afoul of. He's south of whatever it is we're talking about.
That is
every
true.
Time he's the offender. What show are you watching? You're watching what show? Guys, I. So that happens. But second of all, at least that's inside your house. You don't have
right.
your lights
yeah, I don't
on.
Have, no, I don't have any decorations okay. outside or lights or wreaths or anything like that. I took all that stuff down. Just okay. haven't gotten around. Well, part of it is taking your tree down is a pain in the ass.
Dude, right.
Because you're going to take all the ornaments off and put them in the
yeah.
box. And
I
all
think
that
everyone's
kind of
pretty familiar with how to do it. Because, you know why? Because everyone else has done it.
I know, but it's just, it's a lot of work.
Wow.
So anyway,
but it's not lazy.
It's not lights though, so it's not like it's offending the neighborhood. It's not like my neighbors are driving by going, "Oh, what an a-hole bringing down the property values with his stupid Christmas lights."
No, they say that about the giant clown head.
Yeah, that's well, true. You got that.
All righty. So what else?
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Hey everyone, Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Our old friend Rob Zombie will be on the program today. Mm-hmm. Love him.
How about that?
Directing an episode of CSI Miami.
Yep.
He's going to be very sad today, though. I'm glad we're talking to him. I'm excited. I love Rob, but he's going to be very sad as a, you know, as a U.S. hockey fan, I imagine, today.
Oh, right.
So we got to yeah. talk him through that.
When is the when's the gold medal game? Is that today?
I thought the same thing when
I
realized
in 4 years.
When I realized it was 1-1, Canada 1-1, U.S. 1-1, I thought, hey, great. Let's play a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
But apparently they decided to not go that route this year. Mm.
We're going to pull out the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices again today.
Oh, excellent.
Many new funny animal stories that we need to get to, so we'll do that. We're going to tell you how not to put up a video resume. A lot of people are doing this on YouTube now. Mm-hmm. They'll put a camera on themselves, and they'll describe what it is about them that's so special that the companies need to hire them for.
You know, that's getting very popular. A lot of colleges have made that part of your admission process as well now.
Yeah, they should stop that. That's not doing anyone any favors.
Except for the people who are good at it. I mean, if you're a person who comes across as confident and intelligent on your video, I imagine it would give you a little bit of a leg up. Because if there's one thing we've learned, you know, just from taking phone calls on this show, is you can see it in black and white, but it's nothing compared to seeing or hearing the actual person.
Which is the same if you're bad. It's way worse
that you do
a video.
Yeah,
that's true.
You should maybe not. But they put them up on YouTube, so we're going to highlight some of them. Those are fantastic. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com talking about the celebrities and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to announce a little comedy show that we like to do. Second annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, which
Yay!
Is
so exciting.
Huge night of huge comedians, all for charity. It's a great event. It was fantastic last year. Yeah. We're going to give you details today. We're going to tell you how and when to buy tickets. We're going to tell you who's going to play. And we are also going to start giving away tickets.
Woo-hoo.
So that's coming up this morning as well. A quick break. We'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Beatnik.
This is the day we announce Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness Concert. All the details, when and where and who and how. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. You definitely don't want to miss it. Very exciting times around here. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend?
It was spectacular.
Good.
Had a good time Saturday night doing the live Adam Carolla podcast over at the El Portal Theater.
Twice. What time did you get out of there?
Did the 8 o'clock show with Rob Riggle, who, if you don't know Rob... Well, you do know him, first of all, because he was in Hangover, and everyone saw Hangover.
Right.
Yeah. He was one of the cops in Hangover. He was also in The Goods with Jeremy Piven and Dave Koechner, and you've seen him a bunch of movies. He was Saturday Night Live and The Daily Show. What a funny, funny guy, but also what a great guy. I had a good time hanging out with him, and then Dr. Drew and Jimmy Kimmel, Bill Simmons from SI, just a great lineup. It was
Sounds great.
Very entertaining. That Jimmy Kimmel, he is funny.
Is this the night
but
where...
But he is gassy.
Yeah, always has been.
Backstage, I was like, Adam, bring me out. Bring me on stage because I cannot stay back here
oh
any longer.
Oh, my God.
Which would only make Jimmy prouder.
Yes,
so.
He was very pleased with himself, quite frankly.
Was that the night where they were going to then show a movie and then do Q&A?
Yes.
And then...
After the late show was a free screening of The Hammer, mm-hmm. Adam's film, and then a Q&A after the screening.
And what time did that wrap up?
I have no idea.
Oh, you left
I bolted right after Jimmy was doing his set pretty much, so.
Gotcha.
I could not last the whole night long.
You needed oxygen.
I was out of booze, too. I brought a flask of Irish whiskey, and I was empty. So what's the point of sticking around? There's no more booze.
Point.
It's always been my stand.
Got to move on.
Let's take a look at the top 10 moves at the box office. We do so every Monday morning. Shall we? Shutter Island continues to be number one for the second week in a row. $22.3 million made it. So, Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan made $18.6 million in its debut weekend, was number two. Then the crazies, they're crazy, crazy. Avatar was fourth, then Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief was fifth. Valentine's Day, Dear John, The Wolfman, The Tooth Fairy, and Crazy Heart rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Tragic news over the weekend for the Osmonds. Marie Osmond's son, Michael Blosel, committed suicide Friday night by jumping from the 8th floor of his apartment here in Los Angeles. He was just 18 years old.
Man.
Michael left a note saying he had intended to commit suicide due to his constant depression that left him feeling like he had no friends and could never fit in. Ironically, he texted a friend to let her know about the suicide note. How can you feel like you have no friends when there's somebody you want to contact before you go? Sadly, by the time she arrived at the apartment, he had already jumped. Mm. And as you can imagine, the Osmond clan is devastated by the news. 18 years old. Come on. Really?
Yeah.
What's so bad at 18 that you don't think, well, maybe things might get better? I got a lot of years ahead of me to try to work something out, you know?
Because you have clinical depression, and that's completely different.
Yeah. So
it's also a surprise to me knowing that his mother went through so many of the same things, and they're into treatment and into drugs to help it. You'd think that they would be the first people to, you know, to get their kid some real help, knowing how serious it is.
Mm, it's tragic news. Dr. Drew Pinsky apparently was Johnny on the spot the other day when he was on the set of The Insider.
Yes.
Hear about this?
No.
He saved another life.
Drew's on the set of The Insider there to support Gary Coleman.
Yeah.
And Gary Coleman had a seizure on the set.
Oh, man.
And Dr. Drew was there and started to take care of him and minister to him on the set when Gary was in the midst of his seizures. And I said this on Saturday night at the live show with Adam. I said, this is one of the signs of the apocalypse. When Dr. Drew starts nursing Gary Coleman back to health, that's when you know we've just all come full circle. And I remember it being in the Bible, a dark dwarf will walk among you, and the white-haired angel of the talking box will minister to him, and then the sky shall turn to ash cloth and sacks.
Where's that?
Will be filled with cats. I don't know. It's somewhere in the book of effed up crap. Sean Penn saved some lives, too. It's all about celebrity saving lives today.
Sure.
Sean Penn, you may or may not know, is currently in Haiti on a relief mission. He heard about a woman and a child that were stuck in a pile of rubble outside Port-au-Prince. He tossed his daughter Dylan in the car and drove for an hour and a half to the site. And it was Sean who was literally the person who pulled them both from the rubble and then gave them a ride to the to a hospital camp.
That's an odd story because there are people there to do that.
And one of those people was Sean.
Well, I know, but...
Look, when you're trying to move large pieces of concrete, I'm guessing you need as many people as possible.
Right.
So he volunteered. Why do you not want him to volunteer to save someone's life?
I don't know. There's something annoying about him doing that. There is. That doesn't bother anyone else.
Something annoying about him saving somebody's life?
No, it's not that. It's that he's... I don't know.
What? That he's not a trained...
He's
like
not
he just
a,
goes
he's
in
not
and,
trained there, and he could do so much more good, you know, as a celebrity, raising money or whatever else, but instead he's
well,
there.
He's done that too.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to try and figure out why it bugs me, but it does. It bugs me a lot.
Really?
Because you think he's doing it for publicity.
Hey, everyone, look at me. I'm saving a life. I don't know. Maybe.
Look, if he's there doing stuff, though, if he's... Look, they need
he's
volunteers.
Hands-on.
If he's hands-on doing stuff... Then if he's doing it for publicity, I don't care why he's doing it. I think it's amazing
it's
that
really
he is
hard.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who would like to have publicity, too, who aren't doing it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big sacrifice to take time out of your life to go down there to that part of the world and do that stuff.
You don't see JWoww down there. That's what your point is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people who want just the publicity.
Snooki is there.
Snooki is there.
She is there.
What is confusing to me about the story is how there's not still people trapped under rubble. I mean, the earthquake was, what, 5 or 6 weeks ago?
Apparently there is. I mean, if the story's true.
Yeah.
Who's still alive 5 or 6 weeks later to be rescued by Sean Penn, though? That's what I can't get.
A woman and child stuck in a pile of rubble outside Port-au-Prince? Hmm. I don't know. You can go to TMZ.com for more information.
All right.
If you'd like to fill that out.
Agree with Kevin.
And Liev Schreiber was performing on Broadway, a performance of the play A View from the Bridge he was starring in. When an audience member fell ill, Liev jumped off the stage into the audience to help rescue the person who was sick in the audience.
Wow.
How ill was the person in the audience?
Very.
Oh. Well,
Leah was taking care of them. A doctor was called, and then paramedics got to the scene and took the audience member away. So he stopped the show and jumped off the stage to help the person in the audience.
He's never heard of the show Must Go On.
Apparently not. No. he's all about the people.
We would all be dead if it weren't for celebrities.
Do you hate him too, Kevin?
No,
him?
I just
should he have just kept going? Should he just kept doing his monologue, let the person choke to death, whatever's happening with them?
Well, I was kidding, but
what if the audience member was under some rubble? Then what?
Then it would have been fine.
All right.
Then Sean Penn would have swooped in and helped.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Roger Daltrey. How good was he at the Super Bowl?
Oh, dear God. It was a disaster.
He is 66 years old today. Alan Thicke from Growing Pains is 63. Ron Howard, actor, director, writer, all-around good guy, 56 years old. Javier Bardem, 41 years old. He's still dating Penelope Cruz, by the way.
Yeah.
He's lucky. Tim Daly from Wings turns 54 years old today. No, not Wing. Wings, the TV show Wings.
Oh.
Jensen Ackles from Supernatural is 32 years old today. Kesha. With a dollar sign.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrates her 23rd birthday. Justin Bieber.
There it is.
Shut up.
Shut up is right. Thank you.
He's 16 years old today. And Mark Paul Gosselaar, my old co-star from NYPD Blue, MPG, as I lovingly call him, celebrates his 36th birthday today.
Now, you say that a lot about your old co-stars, but he's one you actually met, right?
I actually worked with him. Of all the co-stars that I say I co-starred with on NYPD Blue, I actually had scenes with MPG.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's legit.
So he would know me if I walked up to him.
Do you remember when Kevin talked to Mark Paul Gosselaar when he was on the show?
About his other show with Bochco that he did over there. I remember that, yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Bochco, tell him that we're so over there is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Why do we keep letting him talk to people?
I don't know, but we're this close to having A Moment with Kevin for every day of the year.
How many times would we have to go through that and say, you know what? Maybe Kevin shouldn't talk to the celebrities anymore. When would we stay? When would we make that decision?
A long time ago, if it was going to be made. Wow. Honestly. If I had to try out for my job today, I don't think that would go well.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. As we do each Monday, we check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Maybe we can ask him about Sean Penn. Maybe we can get some more details about what's going on with Sean Penn. Kevin, make you feel a little bit better or a little bit worse on what he's doing down there in Haiti. How about that?
I really can't put my finger on it. I really don't know why it bugs me, but it does.
Kevin hates people who help.
That's what the key is. I hate people who help and bring a publicist, I think, to put out, you know,
you don't know you brought releases. A publicist. You don't know that that's what happened.
All right.
I'm saying you don't know.
It could have happened, but
maybe it didn't happen. We don't know.
No,
maybe Harvey knows.
The people who got rescued from him at the building had a PR agent.
Other people there. There may have been people at the hospital who said, hey, that dude is Sean Penn. And they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on and so on.
That could have happened.
It absolutely could have happened.
Yes, it could have.
Or he could be bunking with Anderson Cooper. Maybe that's how we found out. Maybe they're sharing a room together.
That's right.
All right. Let's talk about the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, because that we can all agree on.
Okay.
This is good times. There are a lot of animal stories. We don't get to enough of them, so we put them on a wheel, and then we spin it, and then whatever it lands on, we try to follow up and get some more information on the story.
And it always equals crappy radio. So we got that
You're not starting that again, are you?
I'm here to try to help.
Again?
I'm trying to save you from yourself and, save the listeners from the next 4 minutes.
But how useful was it when we got to talk to Tilly, the killer whale down at SeaWorld last week? I mean, that was an exclusive interview. Nobody else had that. It was thanks to the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices we were able to even make that call.
No.
Okay. I don't understand your argument.
All right. Well, let's spin it anyway.
No.
No. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right. Stories on the wheel today. Boozy ape sent to rehab. Human-faced lamb in heaven. Giant Japanese jellyfish. Russian dog girl. Renegade kangaroo. The smiling dog. The tweeting Ugandan gorillas. Percy the albino squirrel. The Japanese attack bear. The rock-throwing elephant. All right. On the wheel today.
Okay.
So come on, Percy the albino squirrel. I'm dying to find out what's up with Percy.
Let's see here. Let's do some follow-up on the Boozy Ape sent to rehab.
I gotta go. How about that? No, don't leave, Ralph. You gotta hear the story. You don't want to hear what's going on.
If you would listen once, you'd find out how entertaining. All right,
he's gonna miss the call.
Here's our old friend Jimmy Kimmel.
Here's a funny animal story. I don't know what's going on in Russian zoos, but a Russian chimpanzee named Zora has been sent to rehab because he's addicted to smoking and beer. Beer. If only they could find some way to keep beer and cigarettes away from him, like maybe a cage of some kind, this wouldn't be a problem.
26-year-old ape apparently enjoys a cigarette after a meal and also likes to have some booze. And apparently now is hooked so much so that they have to send this boozy monkey, this ape, this chimpanzee to rehab.
But doesn't Jimmy ask the perfect question, which is just put him in a place where he doesn't have access to that and he'll clean himself out? You don't have to send him away for that, right?
Right, but he was originally in the circus. Then he went to the zoo. It seems like all along the way there that opportunity was available to.
And it hasn't worked.
Well, I don't think, obviously, if he's hooked on him, he had a regular supply of cigarettes and booze.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where.
Who
I don't know if they have an underground with monkeys that are tunneling underneath the fences or whatever. Or they got the guys that work there that are giving him a drink.
Wow.
Well, I guess the only thing to do is to talk to somebody from the zoo. I think producer Alex was able to line up a person for us with more details on Zora, the boozy ape. And we have him on the phone right now.
Hey, Rhonda, how you doing?
where are we calling? Are we in China now?
This is Zane.
Huh?
Shanghai province.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's
so,
where the zoo is.
I see. Okay.
It's a Russian ape who was working in the circus there, but now has been transferred to a zoo in China.
Yeah, that's all in the story. You read it before you get on the phone.
We did.
But right, I thought maybe the listeners might be interested in some of those details as well. So, how's Zora doing?
She great. Or he great.
We don't know if it's a he or she
yet.
That's
true.
It's a he. It's a he. It's in the story.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can answer some of our questions for us. First of all, how did this chimpanzee get hooked on booze and cigarettes?
Would you rather talk to the ape himself?
Zora? The ape is there with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, put Zora on the phone.
Okay, 1 second.
Oh, the boozy ape.
All right, ape. It's phone for you. Okay, here you go.
Awesome.
Hello?
Is this Zora the boozy ape?
Didn't he just say that it was?
Right, but we don't talk to a lot of apes.
Well, that's your hang-up, man.
Okay.
That's my problem, you know.
Where do you get the cigarettes from, Zora?
I buy them. What do you think, I'm cheap?
Well,
what do you think, I'm cheap? I don't can't afford to buy my own cigarettes.
Most
you're starting crap with me, I start crap with you.
No, I'm saying
how about I throw some crap in your head? How do you like that now?
Not even a little bit. But Zora, most monkeys don't have money and don't buy things.
Well, I'm better than most monkeys then, I guess.
But you're also in a zoo, right?
Well, first of all, I'm not monkey, okay?
Okay.
First of all, monkey have tail. Monkey is a lower form, a primate, a crap-throwing, tick-infested crap head.
Wow.
Okay? Hey, I'm ape.
So that's way better than monkey?
That's way better,
all
first
right.
of all. And that's why monkeys don't have money for smokes, and apes can, use tools and whatnot things.
Where do you get your money from?
401k.
I'm sorry, did you say 401k?
Duh. Yeah, 401k in the circus when I was performing.
I see.
And, retirement benefits, Social Security.
Wow, good deal.
I've got, financial planning. I think of future. I'm not stupid. I need to make some sort of plan for when I retire so I can be comfortable and have, smoking and drinking.
Now, what kind of drink do you get? What's your drink of choice?
I don't drink beer often.
You don't?
But when I do.
Yes.
It's Dos Equis. I'm the smartest ape in the world.
Yes, you are.
And the most interesting ape in the world.
That's also true.
Yes.
Well done.
And the always enjoyable giant inflatable beaver.
Oh, I'm going to miss them so much. All right, big program ahead, including details on the second annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness about an hour from right now. Also, Rob Zombie joins us on the program later on today. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, how about Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television? Harvey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Hi Harvey.
Great to talk to you. Have a good weekend. Anything fun going on with you?
Just hanging out at the beach watching for a tsunami.
Yeah, good times.
That was a weak-ass tsunami, wasn't it?
You know, it's funny because they said it was going to hit, not, it's not funny, but they said it was going to hit Santa Monica. And I was just thinking, how could that be? And it was, you know, there were actually people that were sitting there. It was like the prelude to going to see Alice in Wonderland. All these guys were just sitting there stoned on the beach watching.
Well, fortunately, the earthquake was bad enough. Fortunately, there doesn't seem to be too much damage around the world with the tsunami. So you are right. That's good news. Let's talk about what's hot on TMZ.com today. You got a great story right at the top of the page today of some late breaking news that at least I had not heard about, of something that's going on in the Michael Jackson investigation. What's the deal?
Well, you know, I had heard about this for a long time, and actually it took a long time this weekend to kind of boil this down and explain it. But the bottom line is that we know that law enforcement, that the core of this case, and this is the thing, and you know, in the next couple of months you're going to start hearing about this as the big thing.
Okay.
They believe Dr. Murray covered this whole thing up, that Dr. Murray told police that he gave a small amount of propofol to Michael Jackson. The experts in law enforcement think it's a lie. They believe that he gave him this big bottle of propofol that he attached to a spike and then basically put it in this IV that went into his leg. And they think he either just tried to eyeball how much should go in, or he just walked out of the room and left this thing on his leg and he just massively OD'd. And they also think that he may have taken that big bottle and put it in a secret compartment, which is where it was found, in the closet in that room.
Uh-oh.
And that's the bottle that actually was the basis for killing Michael Jackson, not the small bottle that he had told law enforcement he had given him. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a huge part of the case, and we kind of boil it down and explain it on the website.
So Dr. Conrad Murray is claiming, A, that he didn't kill Michael Jackson, and B, that the amount he gave him, he's claiming a very, very small amount.
Yeah, he says he was trying. Now, look, he is saying he was trying to wean Michael Jackson off of propofol, that Michael Jackson was a propofol addict when Dr. Murray signed on, didn't know it, and actually tried to get him off, and none of the other doctors would do that. So he, you know, his story is, I was actually trying. The cops don't believe it. The prosecutors don't believe it. They think that, you know, the amount Dr. Murray said he had given him wouldn't put somebody to sleep, much less kill him.
Well, Harvey, the autopsy has been completed. How much propofol was in Michael Jackson's system when they got around to doing that the day he died?
The amount in his system was equivalent to what you would find during general anesthesia for major surgery. So
that's a lot. That's more than he's saying.
It's a lot.
Tell me about
this. Way more than you'd need to sleep, in other words.
Well, you don't use it for sleeping. I mean, propofol.
Well, he did.
You don't.
That's right. And, you know, look, Dr. Murray's big defense in this thing, I think, is going to be, you know, you got all these Beverly Hills doctors and fancy doctors who addicted Michael Jackson for decades and would literally take him from office to office and give him propofol for these bogus procedures. So then Dr. Murray comes along a couple of months before Michael Jackson dies, and he becomes the patsy, the fall guy. And, you know, I got to say, I don't think this is a slam dunk on either side. This is a complicated case. And I think that a jury might just kind of feel like, wow, you know, this is, you know, a jury might just say, you know, you got all these rich white doctors, and I'm serious about this. And because, like Johnny Cochran said, race plays a part in all of these cases. You got all these fancy white doctors, then all of a sudden this black doctor comes along and you nail him for manslaughter.
Well,
I hope people don't think that.
In the defense of the actual facts, Michael Jackson died after Dr. Conrad Murray gave him some.
Absolutely.
Does that matter?
It matters, and then Murray's going to say that Jackson was in a weakened state. He was already a propofol. You're right. I mean, look, I think that this case will be won and lost based on how good the lawyers are.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What's the timeline of this, Harvey, before you go? I mean, is the trial likely to get started pretty soon or no?
It's it's not going to get started. It's not going to get started pretty soon. I mean, it's interesting because the defense is saying that the prosecution has been really slow. They say suspiciously slow in even turning over the investigative notes, and they're starting to, you know, raise these issues of do they really want a fair trial? And the DA is saying this is ridiculous. We're turning this stuff over. So it's really contentious. I mean, this is going to be a knockdown, drag out trial.
Would you guess with your crystal ball that this trial is even going to start this year?
No.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I have often said, whether we're talking about the Robert Blake case at the time or the Roman Polanski case, certainly, that it seems like the plan is to wait for everybody to die in the case so you don't have to have a trial.
Right.
If you wait long enough, then all the participants will be dead. We don't even have to bother with this. All right, Harvey.
You know, sometimes that's absolutely true. In this case, I mean, it's going to be tried, or there's going to be a plea bargain. I mean, that's the other way of looking at this thing, is that, you know, Dr. Murray does not want to do prison time. And I think if they offered him some kind of a deal that was acceptable, my gut is that this case could be plea bargained.
Interesting. Well, you're doing as usual, you're doing a fantastic investigative job staying on top of the story. TMZ.com is the website. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Harvey, have a great week. Thanks so much for joining us.
You too, guys. See
you. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I'm curious how you came across this one, Kevin. Are you putting your resume together? Is there something you want to tell us? What's going on here?
Certainly should be. No, this was, I believe, a listener tipped me off to this. Gawker.tv put up a list of some of the worst video resumes. Apparently, people looking for work will put a camera on themselves, and then they'll edit together this nice little video resume, and then they can send it to companies and kind of show
now,
them what they're about.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a fantastic idea, by the way, because I think it's crazy to waste time interviewing somebody who clearly is a dud if they send you a video interview and you can tell you don't like that person or want to work with that person. I mean, I think this is a great tool, a great resource. I'm happy to see this being the trend.
Yeah, because it does weed out the people who are bad at it, which are the people that we are about to focus on.
Right.
Go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see the videos. There are about seven of them up there.
Okay.
The first one is that I'm going to play a clip from is Michael Spafferty. And Michael Spafferty is a comedian,
yeah,
I think.
Hello, I'm Michael Spafferty. As an undergraduate at Michigan, I spent 1 year in Africa as a midwife. When I got to Africa, I didn't even know how to speak African.
Okay, so then he goes on, and you might say, hey, maybe he's serious. No, he's kidding. You know how I know he's kidding?
How?
He winks at the camera.
No.
Oh.
I couldn't even speak African. Wink.
Oh.
Yes. Weren't you out on, hello, I'm Michael Spafford? Just throw that
pretty
one right
bad.
Away, right? Move on.
And,
yeah.
And let's bear in mind that the reason people do these videos is to get hired for a job. They are trying to make the best impression possible to their new employers, right?
The next one is David Pedersen, who is one of my favorites. He talks about how much the company, whatever the company may be that receives the video, how much they need him and how much better he can make them. And he starts off his video by holding a sandwich.
The sandwich is good, but it could use something. Hi, I'm David Pedersen.
Yeah.
Now, when you're making these videos, make sure that you leave a beat between your name and the disco music that comes apparently from Europe.
Hi, I'm David Pedersen.
One, two, go. Speak.
Your company is great, but it could use something too. Maybe youth-inspired perspective? How would you like strong leadership? Community-based communication skills.
Community-based communication skills. I'm not joking when I tell you he holds up a cell phone.
Wow.
He can talk on the cell phone.
I don't even know what that means, community-based communication skills.
I'm telling you that to David Peterson or Pedersen, he means he can use the cell phone.
And maybe a little innovation. Add a dash of hard worker. And drizzle on some effective resource management. This company's starting to look delicious. Since graduation, I've become interested in Microsoft Publisher, Access, and Excel.
All right. This guy's interesting.
I don't know how to use any of those, but I've become interested in them.
Wait till you hear his specialty.
With a specialization in line and bar graphs.
Are you kidding? You're a specialist in line and bar graphs? No one can do that. What a unique service you have.
Wow.
And then he goes back into some deep history on himself. He and his family when he was younger.
When I was 12 years old, my mom planned a picnic. And she asked me to see what the weather was going to be like on the day of the picnic.
All right, how does that fit in, you might ask?
Yes.
Over a decade later, I'm asking you, what's the weather going to be like for your company? Because with me, it's always sunny.
Oh! Yes, he did!
Booyah!
Being a tool, man.
Come on.
come
with me, it's Always Sunny. Isn't this guy guaranteeing that he doesn't get hired?
Oh, my
Even
God.
So much that I think it might be fake. Is anyone, I mean, we always ask this with American Idol, with everything else.
Well, that's a good question.
Is anyone really this bad?
Yes.
Is anyone really applying for a job over a rave bed?
And then his cell phone rings.
The call is for you. And it's me.
The call is for you.
Whoa.
And it's me.
Wow.
So that happens.
So don't hire him.
KevinAmin.com. You can watch him. He is just a douchebag of the first sort. Really just the best. And the next one is Upcut, which I like. It means it starts kind of in the middle of a sentence. It doesn't even let the guy begin, but he's talking about business cards and what business cards say about you as an employee, and he goes on.
A business card, don't let that be your apprehension. Don't let not having the tools be your trepidation.
Okay, so
what?
I don't know what he meant by that, but he's holding a business card. So maybe he's saying don't let the fact that you don't have a business card be your trepidation, he's saying.
Meaning, prevent you from hiring me?
I don't know.
Is that what he means? Okay.
That makes no sense to me.
I don't know. It really doesn't make any sense to me either, but then he goes on.
These are the gift, the prize. You see that business card? Cheap. Strathmore stock. 60 pound.
Now he's pointing on other people's business cards and he's going to start hating. Look at this. Okay. What a piece of crap this is.
Can you tear it? Absolutely. Looks like crap? It is crap.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Okay.
And by the way, this
Where
business card.
Where are we going here?
This business. Oh, just wait. This business card is like every business card you've ever seen. It's business card size. It's got some writing on it. Blah blah blah. That's not good enough for
okay.
this guy.
Nothing special about it. Let me see. What's it say on it? Name of the company. This guy's a CSO, Chief Strategic Officer. Wow, I'm impressed.
Okay, good.
So he doesn't have a job. He's applying for work, yet right. he's mocking other people that do at this point.
But he's not going to do that, Bean, if he doesn't have a solution.
I will never make a criticism if I don't have a resolution.
Resolution.
You see that card?
Now he's holding up his card, which is about the size of the back of a cereal box.
Oh, wow.
it's a huge, monster, ridiculous-looking business card.
This is the most impressive business card I've ever seen. It's mine.
It's mine! Oh, it's the wow. most impressive card I've ever seen. It's mine.
Wow.
Did he just whip it up, Bean, you asked? Why, no.
It took me 25 years to design this. This card is expensive. It's about $4 a card.
All right. I'm not going to hire a guy that takes 25 years, seriously, to design a business card.
He has a card, but no job. So then what you don't realize...
Well, he's been busy getting a card.
When you first see the card, you don't realize that it opens up and a crowd, like a cutout, paper cutout crowd opens up.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Because he's going to...
Crowd's guaranteed. You're kidding. My card, instead of telling you that I'm a CEO, because who cares about my title, tells you about the result I generate. I build crowds. Guaranteed. What do? Guaranteed.
Yes, that's what you want to do, is you want to insult
the potential employer.
Yes.
The people who have the jobs, you want to ask them what they do.
Well, they're going to be looking at this going, he's too good for us. We can't compete with that. He's got so much more going on. Our business cards don't cost $4 each.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and Ralph Garman is here to give you free stuff.
Okay. Let's give away something. The Oscars DVD pack. This is pretty cool. You know, we got the Oscars coming up on Sunday.
Yep.
I can't wait, by the way. Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. And then after your late and local news, you got Jimmy Kimmel Live, by the way. Special
That's gonna be great.
Sunday edition.
Oh.
And Jimmy is going to have Robert Downey Jr. on as
very
his very
cool.
special guest. So it's going to be pretty cool. We're giving away a prize pack to celebrate that, a DVD pack. All five, not all five actually, because it's 10 this year, but five Best Picture nominated films. How about that? District 9, Inglourious Basterds, The Hurt Locker, The Blind Side, and Up in the Air.
That's great.
All five DVDs. Right. But you got to know the trivia question. 1-800-520-1067 is the trivia question number to call. How many times has Morgan Freeman been nominated for an Academy Award? He is nominated this year for Invictus, Best Actor in a Leading Role. So that's one. At least one. You know, at least one.
Sure.
I'm telling you right now. I'll give you a hint. It's more than one. Call now if you know the answer. 1-800-520-1067. Thanks so much. Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? We take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office every Monday morning. Shutter Island, still number one, twice in a row, $22.3 million made it. So, Cop Out in its debut, $18.6 million. Was number two. The Crazies was three with a little over $16 million. Then Avatar, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, Valentine's Day, Dear John, The Wolfman, The Tooth Fairy, and Crazy Heart, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Donnie and Marie have canceled their Las Vegas show at the Flamingo Resort. That is the only good thing to come out of this story.
How dare you?
Marie Osmond's son.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Michael Blosil has committed suicide. He was only 18 years old. Apparently, he committed suicide, according to his note that he left behind, due to constant depression. It left him feeling like he had no friends and could never fit in. Never caused Bean to take his life. That's all I got to tell you.
Should have.
I'm just saying. The guy felt like he had no friends and didn't fit in. That's not a reason to take your life, right? A lot of people thrive in that situation.
Sure.
Yeah. Jersey Shore's Snooki was at a party Saturday night in Manhattan when some ice from a skyscraper slid off that building and came crashing through the windows of an atrium in a restaurant where she was eating.
Wow.
It was for Purim, the Jewish holiday of Purim. It was a big Purim party.
Okay.
And ice came crashing through the windows in the restaurant where she was.
Wow.
That's a sign from God, right?
Absolutely.
It's a religious holiday, and she's in there not being Jewish, first of all, and then just being Snooki, second of all.
Yeah.
And then God sends ice falling off a skyscraper, crashing through an atrium ceiling.
He didn't even wait till she walked outside.
He was inside. No time. I got to move now.
Hey, God he smites. I mean, that's what he does. Look at the book, right?
That is God's version of punching her in the face at the bar. That's what that is. Sadly, she was not hurt.
Oh,
yeah,
it's too bad.
Vinny was there too, by the way.
Was he?
He was alongside her, and so was Chris Noth. Surprisingly, from Sex and the City. That's an odd number of people. Yeah. We have a winner to my trivia question.
We do.
Looks like we do. Let's talk to Angel, shall we?
Angel.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
Angel, how many times has Morgan Freeman been nominated for an Oscar?
Five times.
You're right. Street Smart, Driving Miss Daisy, The Shawshank Redemption, Million Dollar Baby, and now for Invictus. Congratulations. You win that five-pack of movies, all nominated for the Oscars.
Sweet.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Feels like I see anything Morgan Freeman's in.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's what he's like for
he's
me.
Great.
Anytime he's in a movie, I go,
no.
Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly. He's ridiculous. You know who else is like that for me? Janice Dickinson.
Really?
No, model Janice Dickinson.
Not really. No.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's just been I'm sorry, she is the world's first supermodel. Just ask her. She's got a new reality show and going to be on television.
All right.
Wow. Where Janice will be looking, she'll be a cougar looking for younger men. She's looking for a younger boyfriend, so she's going to coug it up. And there's going to be a bunch of young, hot guys who come on the show looking to find true love with Janice Dickinson.
Yeah.
This isn't true.
Come on.
It's true. It's true.
They live in a house. They do things.
Of course.
What's the process?
There's only one way to find
love.
There's only one way to find love, Kevin.
Yeah, it's true.
That's in front of a television camera living in a house with other people.
The crazy supermodel.
I will tell you, though, that one of the Bachelors, I think last season, married one of the chicks from the show yesterday, Ralph. So occasionally, it does work out for people.
Yeah, we'll see.
Occasionally.
We'll see.
We'll see how the week goes.
And Tiger Woods has lost another endorsement contract. Apparently, Gatorade has officially dumped Tiger, which leaves me from thinking, who better to talk about replenishing your fluids than Tiger Woods?
Yes!
Good point.
How could they drop him? It seemed like a perfect fit.
Just work it in. Tiger Woods, I'm so drained from all the promiscuous sex I've been having with all my mistresses, so when I need to replenish my bodily fluids, I drink Gatorade.
What happened?
Thank you. It'd be huge if you got me some Gatorade.
I was unfaithful. I had affairs. I cheated.
Drink Gatorade.
Wow, seamless. As if Tiger was in the room with us.
Well, Bean does impressions.
Hey, celebrity birthdays. Roger Daltrey, 66 years old today. Ron Howard. What a life. What a career this fella's had, right?
Yeah. He's the best.
He was 4 years old or something on the Andy Griffith Show, played Opie. Then he went on to be Richie Cunningham on Happy Days. Then he started just directing movies. He became one of the biggest movie directors and writers and producers in Hollywood. Arrested Development. I mean, the guy's got such a track record.
Yeah, from Beautiful Mind.
56 years. I don't know about his mind, but I just know he's a good guy.
Name of the movie, I think.
What? Yeah.
I think he won the Oscar for that, I think.
56 years old today. Javier Bardem is 41. Hey, Javier, how are you going to celebrate your birthday? Do you have any plans?
I'm going to blow out some candles, friendo.
Sorry I asked. Mark Paul Gosselaar from NYPD Blue is 36 years old. Jensen Ackles from Supernatural is 32. Kesha celebrates her 23rd birthday. And Justin Bieber is 16 years old today.
All right, Biebs.
Stop it.
Shut up.
I'm asking you nice.
Is Mike having a Bieber party tonight? Are you getting together with some of your teeny bopper friends?
Stop it.
Listen to his record.
Bieber fever. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Psycho Mike, I know it's short notice, but is there any chance we have Why Does Kevin Hate? Because if ever there was a need to bring back Why Does Kevin Hate? Every week we come in here. Ralph, am I right about this? Every week we come in here and we're amazed by something else that Kevin hates.
He hates. But and this is coming from a guy who hates. I'm a hater.
You
but
are
Kevin
a hater.
Kevin hates.
But I don't know why. That's my thing here. Why does it bug me so much?
At least
I don't
you
know.
Have reasonless hate.
I'm just saying I don't know why it bugs me, but it does.
You say why does it bug you as if you don't mean why does everything in the world bug you.
And look. And you tend not to have a lot of backup for your hate, quite frankly.
No, that's true.
I don't have backup for anything. You know that. That's
true. Do you have it, Mike? Because I think it might be appropriate to play here.
Why does Kevin hate old people? Why does Kevin hate baseball? Why does Kevin hate?
Why does he hate
the Beatles, Al Roker, and wine drinkers? Why does Kevin hate anything made before 1985? That is so dumb. What will Kevin hate today?
I will tell you what Kevin hates today, ladies and gentlemen. It's humanitarian aid to earthquake victims. Yes. That's what Kevin hates.
Well, don't we all?
Look, what would Tyler Durden do? I looked up the story on Sean Penn. And do you guys remember when Katrina hit? And it was about, I don't know, a month afterwards when the water had gone down. And he showed up with his little red cup and he was bailing out. Remember that? And he was saving people in New Orleans, saving people.
I remember him being there in a boat. I remember him
in a boat.
Yeah. He was in a boat.
Wasn't he picking people up in a boat?
He was.
Well, it was like the water had receded. He was in a boat.
Yeah. It was only a couple weeks later.
So then he goes to Haiti, and there's and apparently he drove 90 miles outside of Port-au-Prince, and then he was rescuing people.
There was a woman and her child. Apparently there was an aftershock, and they were caught in some rubble outside Port-au-Prince, and he had heard about it, and he drove out to help in the effort moving rubble to get the people out. And then he drove them to a hospital camp. And he's still staying with them, apparently. He's still with the mother and her child as we speak.
Maybe
did he let them touch his Oscar?
until they can find some place to put them up.
I don't know why it bugs me. Maybe it's just, hey, look at me. I'm out here saving people. He's a movie star. I mean.
But there's no accounts that he said, hey, look at me. This is all eyewitness accounts from people who saw him there who told the story. But there's no account that he was responsible for getting the story out.
How do you think it happened? A-level movie star.
Attracts a lot of attention, I would think, when he shows up and people are there, you know, from some hospital in Kansas and they say, isn't that Sean Penn? Yeah, it is Sean Penn.
And then there's a crowd and then everybody follows. I mean, it just seems like it'd be more of a distraction than anything, honestly, doesn't it?
You guys think he's doing more harm than good over there, really?
Let me ask you, Ralph, you think he honestly just wanted to go help save some lives?
I think you sort of that has to be your motivation in order to get your ass to Haiti. Why the hell would you go to Haiti otherwise? If you didn't have to, if you had an option of going to Haiti or not going to Haiti, wouldn't you choose not going?
I think that's absolutely why he went. And I also think the people in Haiti who he's trying to pull out of rubble don't really care whether he's Spicoli or not. They just care that he's a hand that is reaching for them when they're underground.
That would be funny, though. He did it like Spicoli. Did it all funny like Spicoli? Then that would be worth doing that. Yeah.
But I mean, you
maybe
need
somebody else can help me put this into words, as I am poor at it. 1-800-520-1067. Does it bug anyone else or just me?
Now, Kevin, you have a charity.
Yes.
Is your charity about, hey, look at me, I've got
no,
a charity?
It isn't.
Well, then why can't you see that somebody just wants to help?
I don't know. I have a hard time believing A-level celebrities feel like their best use of their time is to go dig in rubble.
Sometimes
there are a lot of people
that
do that.
Sometimes you just want to do hands-on and you don't want to just raise money.
You don't want to just write a
check. Actually help. And, you know, the
I'm the only one that this strikes a little odd.
You know, it would strike me odd if it was Snooki. Okay?
Yes, yes.
If it was Justin Bieber,
sure.
I mean, if it was someone who is obviously has a history of seeking publicity, it's one thing. But Sean Penn has a long history of being socially and politically active. It's a guy who has had strong beliefs his whole life and has been very outspoken and has acted along with those beliefs, has acted in concert with those beliefs.
Yeah, this is the same guy who will, you know, go to Congress and debate issues or protest the death penalty or any number of other causes that he's been involved in throughout the years. I mean, this seems exactly like the type of thing that he does, not just this time, but, you know, frequently.
He's often at political marches and in protest rallies, and he's in step with his beliefs almost in every.
But there's a difference in being a A-list celebrity at a march, for example, because you draw attention to the cause. I get that. That's different, though.
He's certainly drawing attention to the cause of Haiti, the relief in Haiti today.
Well, I was thinking it was helpful because a lot of people have sort of forgotten about it, and this reminds people that it's still a disaster.
Kevin would
and
like
they
to forget about
help.
It. Kevin would just rather us forget about it, I think. He just wants us to put it out of our minds.
I wouldn't.
Just let him die.
I just find him going there and doing that, for some reason, to me, it just smacks of a photo op and PR. And
but he's standing around eating donuts, drinking coffee at the Red Cross tent. I mean, the guy's obviously doing something while he's there. Would you rather him just be smiling for photos and just standing around Haiti?
No, but maybe Kevin's right in that there is other things he could do that might be more helpful. He is a wealthy and well-known guy. Maybe he could subsidize a group of professionals.
He's written plenty of checks, by the way.
Okay, but I mean, they put together a group of people to bring with him, like construction workers and doctors, instead of him with his daughter driving 90 miles.
But isn't that you saying he's doing something, but he's not doing enough? Isn't
so
that
you want to do more.
Now you're criticizing the guy who is already doing more than 99% of the rest of us, who see the same news reports on Haiti that he does. I wonder if some of it is that Sean Penn has become a little bit of a target for a lot of, particularly a lot of conservatives. They hate him. They hate his views. They hate his movies. If this were a guy maybe that didn't have that problem with that media problem, if this were George Clooney doing the exact same thing, Kevin, would it bug you if it were Clooney?
I think so. I think it would. Yeah, because. Because, boy, I wish I
could. What if it was Kevin James and he was riding around in a Segway in Haiti? Then would it be okay?
As the mall cop?
Yeah. He was dragging people out of rubble on a Segway, and he was dressed as a mall cop.
Now I'm in, because at least there's some entertainment value.
See, there you go.
Let's talk to Fonzie real quick. Fonzie's got a comment. He's...
Hey!
Did you say Fonzie?
Six. So Fonzie is your backup.
Let's talk to Mr. C first.
Fonzie, I hope you're not backing me. I don't... What's up?
Pretty much what I got to say is that he's doing it for it's all publicity. These A-level stars do it for publicity, man. That's
okay,
what it
is. But what about what Ralph said, which is that Sean Penn does everything he can to stay away from cameras?
You know what? Eventually, they're going to know he's there. Every disaster I turn on, he's there. He's there. And you know
Well, that does make him a bad person. You're right.
This bastard's helping out in every disaster you see. You're right. He's scum of the earth.
Fonzie, you're going to be furious if he gets on a plane and heads to Chile today, aren't you?
That bastard. Now he's helping there.
There you go. There you go. I got the money. I'm going to go.
All right. Thank you, Fonzie.
Thank you, Fonzie.
The one thing we don't know that maybe is the problem here is we don't know how the information got out, if it's as Ralph is guessing, which is just, hey, people saw Sean Penn there and somehow that percolates its way up into the news cycle, or if Sean Penn went down there with a cameraman and a makeup person and a publicist and is out there doing everything he can to get noticed. I haven't seen any evidence to suggest that the latter is what's happening, but maybe that's the suspicion that some people have is somehow he's
trying
to turn
this in. That could be my suspicion. I don't know that either, but it just looks like it's quite a photo op. That's all. Mike's right. He really does have the resources to bring a team or do anything. He's just going to go down there by himself.
Maybe he's doing both. I mean, I know he's written a lot. He's given a lot of the money to this relief fund. He's given a lot of
checks.
He's
one of those million-dollar check guys, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'm just saying the benefit of the doubt for me falls to the side of the guy who actually wants to help. We have no proof to know that he got a publicist down there and that he's doing it for this reason. But if he's moving rubble, if he's actually picking up cement with his hands and helping people out and pulling women out of rubble, then I say I err to the side of giving the guy a break. That's all.
We don't have time for many calls here, but Dan, for instance, says they need skilled people. How does Sean qualify? Well, after an earthquake, what you need are people. You don't need skilled people. You need people who can move stuff and pull stuff. That's what you need. I mean, yeah, you obviously also need professionals, but especially in the weeks after an earthquake, you need just hands on the ground, right?
Yeah.
As
and
the general
pants
says.
On the ground.
That is.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Thanks a lot for tuning in. You know, one of the questions that we get asked the most, and this isn't a joke, in recent weeks has been, hey guys, are you going to do another Kevin and Bean April Foolishness concert? Because we did something for the first time last year. Of course, comedy shows have been around for 50 years, 100 years maybe. But we put one together with some of our favorite comedians that we have on the Kevin and Bean Show at the Gibson Amphitheater. And it was a phenomenal time. Raised tons of money for great charities, sold the place out, had a packed house, great comedians. We had so much fun. We thought, hey, we need to do that again. And that's what we're here to announce for you today.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness is April 3rd. It is a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say.
It is.
And I hope it is.
It is Saturday night, April 3rd. That is correct. Which will be here before you know it. I mean, it's just about a month away.
Back in the Gibson Amphitheater in Southern California. You can buy tickets from anywhere if you'd like to come to the show. Live on stage, our friend Jimmy Kimmel, here talking about curling.
One guy pushes what appears to be a cement Roomba down a frozen bowling alley while two guys with Swiffers just slob the ice like that. And this goes on forever. It looks like they're trying to fix something. It doesn't look like... And someone gets a gold medal for it, for that.
So Jimmy Kimmel will be back this year, which we're very excited about. He's a friend of ours. He used to be on the program. Very funny.
Yeah.
Worth the price of the ticket right there, I would say. But then, we've got our old friend, Jay Moore.
I never got into a college, man. I tried. I was a straight-A student until, like, sophomore year. That's true. Because that's when they throw you a curveball. They try to teach you algebra. What the heck is algebra? You never need that. They say you're going to need this for the rest of your life. They're lying. Only the algebra teacher needs it. And they're mad. They have to teach it.
We tried to get Jay Moore last year. He was had a scheduling conflict, so we're very excited to have him this year.
Yeah, he's great.
I know that you have been to see him before, and he kills. He's great.
We have Joe Rogan back this year as well. We are talking about Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, April 3rd, Gibson Amphitheater.
See, people give pot a bad name, man, and it's because for some people, it's not the best thing in the world. My brother was fine, then he started smoking weed. What about guys like him? Oh, you mean f***ing losers? Oh, yeah, let's make it illegal. By the way, let's make hammers illegal, too. Because if you don't build a house with them, you can't hit yourself in the d***. If you're just f***ing crazy, your brother's a fat dummy. He never did anything right. If it wasn't pot that f***ed that guy's life up, it would have been cheeseburgers and scratch tickets. All right? He's an idiot. A plant that made him silly. That took him over the edge. I can't take it anymore.
What a surprise. Joe Rogan talking about pot. So let's see. April Foolishness so far. You got your Jimmy Kimmel. You got your Jay Moore. You got your Joe Rogan. When we sat down and put together a wish list of guys and gals that we wanted to see on this year's show, one of the names near the top of that list is our next performer who will be there this year, Aziz Ansari.
You have not been there. The basic gist of Cold Stone is that they take ice cream and then they just go ape with it. Whatever fat people want in there. Snickers bar, cheeseburger. Let me the Butterfinger into it for you. Just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus. This is way too intense for me. Is that guy's a Butterfinger? What just happened?
Aziz Ansari for Parks and Recreation, of course, in the movie Funny People, which means there may or may not also be an appearance from Randy with 8 A's. I can't wait to see it.
These are all comedians are going to be on one stage for charity. Sarah Silverman is back.
There's nothing funny about cancer. So what, well, there's probably a... There are a couple of funny things. The word cancer itself, you know, because if someone says, like, can you think of anything worse than cancer? You can be like, I can, sir. Or you'd say, I can't. No, you go, no, I can't, sir. That's even better. That makes more sense.
We are going to tell you how and when to buy your tickets for Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness in a moment. But first, we're not done with the lineup yet. Couldn't be a show without the ace man, our friend Adam Carolla.
Here's what a bad dad I am. I have twins, too. And once in a while, like, people come up to me and go, hey, man, we're pregnant with twins. So do you mind if we ask you a few questions? I'm like, go right ahead. What can I expect? I don't know. What can I expect? Well, I don't know. I got a Guatemalan chick comes over, and she's real good with him if you want her number.
Last year, he was Mr. Bertram. This year, he's going to do This Week in Rage, which
I'm
very excited about.
Awesome.
Talking about Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, April 3rd, Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Adam Carolla, funny man Bill Burr.
Let me ask you a question. Why the hell do people keep getting married? You know what I mean? Isn't anybody looking at the stats? I mean, 3 out of 4 marriages go right down the right? If you were going skydiving and they told you 3 out of 4 parachutes weren't going to open, you'd be like, yo, that, I'm not going.
So he's going to be there as well. Jeffrey Ross.
Come on.
About
roast master general. He's the guy that you see on all those roasts on Comedy Central, including the one for Pam Anderson where Courtney Love was sitting on the stage. And I've never seen anything worse said to a person's face in all my life.
Courtney Love, you're like the girl next door. If you happen to live next to a methadone clinic, how is it possible that Courtney Love looks worse than Kurt Cobain?
All right, so that happened. Oh. And she was 10 feet from him.
Yeah, he doesn't pull any punches, Jeffrey Ross, I'll tell you.
If possible, I don't want to compare. I don't want to say better or worse. An equally unbelievable lineup from last year for the first annual April Foolishness. We will be back on April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Yes, the show is in Southern California, but anywhere you can hear the Kevin and Bean Show across the country, you can buy tickets when they go on sale. Well, here's the deal. The general on sale to the public is going to be this Saturday at noon. We do have a pre-sale like we do last year for street team members, and that is what? Going to be Thursday at noon? Is that right?
I don't think we're saying.
Really?
I think we are. Okay. I think we are.
Thursday at noon it is then.
Wow.
Proceeds benefit two charities. One is Boarding for Breast Cancer, which of course is early detection, active lifestyle, best prevention. They try to help out. And also Camp Laurel, which is a camp nonprofit organization serving children, youth, and families living with HIV and AIDS. So
that's great.
It's a charity event. None of the comedians are getting paid. You get to see them all on one night. It's fantastic. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Jay Rogan, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Jeffrey Ross. Go to KevinMB.com for details. Tickets go on sale for everyone Saturday at noon. Saturday at noon.
Just announced minutes ago on the Kevin and Bean Show is the return of April Foolishness. Coming up Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater in Los Angeles. Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Jeffrey Ross, all on one stage. Jimmy's live house band, by the way, Cleto and the Cletones, who I honestly believe are the best late night band on television.
I do too, by far.
They're so great, and they are also going to be providing music for us that night. Proceeds all go to charity, the Boarding for Breast Cancer in Camp Laurel. You can get all the details at KevinBean.com. Tickets go on sale to the public Saturday. Pre-sale Thursday. Be a street team member, and you're able to buy tickets ahead of the public, and it is free and takes, no joke, less than a minute to sign up. So you should definitely plan on joining us April 3rd for the April Foolishness Concert.
I wonder if we could get Wing. That'd be awesome.
Now you're just now you're just dreaming crazy talk.
Wouldn't
right
that
there.
Be great if we could fly her in from New Zealand and have her perform one of her hits.
That'd be amazing.
She would be the funniest thing on the night, I'll tell you that.
Wing is a worse singer than any of the American Idol auditions early.
Oh, yeah.
Early on.
Absolutely.
Worse than all of them. She has 16 albums. We're obsessed with her. I found her on South Park. We love her now. She's been calling the Afro line. We gave her the number, and she's been singing us some of her songs. And this one being she wants to thank us for our unfailing support for her cause, which is to call and sing happy birthday to people for $7 or $8 now. I don't know what it is, but here's the great Wing.
Hi. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Kieran and Bean. Good morning, Alice. And I must say that I...
That's our producer, Alice.
Thank you very much for such a good support last week for my happy birthday song. And I just can't help to continue to sing my best for you all. And now, today, I'm going to...
Now, Alice gave her a list of songs.
Okay, some suggestions of songs that she thought our audience might enjoy, right?
Here are the Foo Fighters. Here are, you know, Metallica. Here's some songs maybe you could sing our music because our audience might enjoy that more.
Okay.
I'm going to sing the first one at 9 to 5.
Now, I don't know this when this was from. Bean, you do, I'm sure.
1980. 1985.
Oh, my
God.
All right, chorus, everybody.
Wow. This could be your best ever.
End of message.
My favorite. Oh, thank God. The mercy rule on the answering machine. Hey, let me ask you this question, and you asked this about the American Idol contestants in the early episodes, too. In her head...
Sounds
is
great.
She sounding great, or does she know how terrible she is and that she's in on the joke and she's putting one over on us? Or what do you think's going on with Wing?
Look, we know from personal experience, there are people out here who really do hear great music when they sing, and it's crap.
Yeah.
And I think she falls into that category.
I think she thinks it's
after
great.
The U.S.-Canadian game for gold medal in hockey yesterday, I was crying, and I just need a little support, and I went to Wing. And you know what? She sings a Michael Jackson song.
She does.
Anybody want to hear Wing do Beat It?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, I do.
Hi. Now I'm going to sing two popular songs in my recent new CD, Beat It. And this is Michael Jackson's Beat It.
Wow. Doesn't that sound slowed down?
Just wait.
And Lisa points out that she's always late coming in, too.
Always.
Wow.
She's on time, though. Now she goes on for the whole song.
Okay. She picked these songs.
I don't know. I don't know what makes her think she can sing a song like this.
Like 9 to 5 is way too fast for her.
Right. And this is what?
I don't even. It's a lot even of problems with this.
16 albums. She has.
Unbelievable. She's more successful than a lot of artists that you may know and like.
I hope
that our listeners are taking advantage of her offer.
I'm sorry, what me?
I said, I hope our listeners are taking advantage of the offer that, I mean, if you enjoy Wing like we do, you can have her call somebody. You could actually pay her $8 and have her call and wish somebody happy birthday, or ask her to call your, you know, your friend and sing Beat It to him and she'll do it. I mean, it's really, it's the best value in the world today as far as I'm concerned.
I'd pay $100 for this song. Where's Dr. Conrad Murray when you need him?
Exactly.
That happened.
It's really, it's the best $8 you can spend outside of that hooker in Hollywood that I used to see.
Oof.
Except for her. She was $5 for 5 minutes, which I think is still technically a better deal. But Wing is pretty darn close. All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Ralph is here with our first look at what?
Jesus. Bean actually had a woman. at one place where he lived, he actually had a woman with a sign that said $5, 5 minutes.
Yep, which, I got to be honest, I'm cheap, but I'm not that cheap. So you don't skimp on hookers. That's my rule, my general rule of life.
Stop it. I can't listen to you talk about sex and hookers and things. It's just so foul.
You want to hear more Wing?
Stop it. I'd rather.
All right.
That's how bad it is.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garman.
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Shutter Island, considered pretty good. Pretty good movie.
I liked it.
A lot of people go. Second week in a row, number one at the box office, $22.3 million made it. So, Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan came in at number two with $18.6 million.
Now, I heard that's Kevin Smith's biggest first weekend opening ever, by the way.
Is that true?
That's what I heard.
The Crazies was third. Avatar was fourth. Percy Jackson and the Olympians came in at number five. Valentine's Day, Dear John, The Wolfman, The Tooth Fairy, and Crazy Heart rounding out your top 10 at the box office. I'm just saying, Megan Fox and I have something in common.
What do you have in common with her?
She was saying in an interview recently that she finds Lady Gaga strangely appealing.
Really?
She is attracted to Lady Gaga. Guess Megan and I are in the same boat. And I'm naked in that boat. And I'm rowing, but not with an oar. In my dream. That's how it goes.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
She says she finds her very appealing and just the kind of girl that could tempt her away from men, she says.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all I got to say.
I love the Kevin and Bean Show.
I mentioned a couple weeks ago that House creator David Shore is going to do a reboot of the classic 70s TV show The Rockford Files. It starred James Garner for many years. Well, they've officially cast the role of Jim Rockford for that new series. Actor Dermot Mulroney, who you probably remember best as the love interest in My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who's got like a scar or something on his mouth. He's got some weird kind of honked up face, that dude.
I don't remember that being the case.
You know what I'm talking about. It's almost like he's got a Joaquin Phoenix kind of thing going on with his mouth.
Like all right. A cleft palate?
Something like that. I don't think it's quite that severe, but I don't care for that guy. I don't dig that guy at all.
I don't know any scar on his face at all.
Yeah, the deformity in his
Are
mouth.
You thinking about Adrian Pazdar?
No. I'm talking about. I know who this guy is. I recognize this guy. So okay. He's honked up. I don't like him.
This is coming from the guy who likes Tina Fey, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
The one who looks like she Leatherface paid her a visit in the middle of the night. No, she's a doll. She couldn't be more attractive to Bean.
And I don't like him as Jim Rockford either. I got to be honest.
Well, look, I mean, James Garner will always be Jim Rockford, but if they're going to do a reboot, you got to give the guy a benefit of the doubt. You know what I'm saying? I'll get that. I'll get it.
This is Jim Rockford. If the tone, leave your name and message, I'll get back to you.
Yeah. What's the point of remaking that show?
Got Jim Rockford's answering machine at the ready.
Remaking Hawaii 5-0. Why not just come up with some new shows, guys? Why does everything have to be a remake?
Because new shows people don't watch them. Remember Over There, that show with Botchko Head?
No.
Which was the story of the Iraq War?
That was a great show.
Great show. Could never find an audience. I remember when we had Mark Paul Gosselaar on.
Come on.
Who worked with Botchko on NYPD Blue. Mark had gone on to Raising the Bar, you know, a lawyer show, but he was still in contact with Botchko. And I remember Kevin was interviewing him, and he talked about how disappointed he was that Over There was canceled.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so Over There is not anymore, right?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Had you done an eight ball before that question? Because you couldn't settle down long enough to finish one word.
No mas.
I agree. That could be the greatest ever, couldn't it? The
reason I bring it up, Mark Paul Gosselaar celebrates his 36th birthday today. As we look at celebrity birthdays, Jensen Ackles from Supernatural is 32 years old. Singer Kesha with a dollar sign celebrates her 23rd birthday. Justin Bieber is 16. Would you seriously stop it?
Great man.
He's not a great man. He's barely a great boy. Javier Bardem celebrates his 41st birthday. Tim Daly, actor from Wings and other entertaining programs, is 54. Ron Howard's 56. Alan Thicke is 63. And legendary singer for The Who, Roger Daltrey, celebrates his 66th birthday today. Although he's not really good anymore, as we found out at the Super Bowl.
Not good at all.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Just announced last hour, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness Show, which is going to be Saturday, April 3rd at the Gibson Amphitheater. A phenomenal lineup of comedy again for you this year, including not only Jimmy Kimmel, the host of Jimmy Kimmel Live, but his house band from the TV show Cleto and the Cleetones are going to be there. Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr. A fantastic night of comedy. We're raising money for charity again this year, Boarding for Breast Cancer and Camp Laurel. You can get all the details at kevinandbean.com. Tickets go on sale to the public Saturday, but we do have a pre-sale for you on Thursday, and those details are available at kevinandbean.com also. Definitely worth signing up to be a member of the street team so you can buy the tickets early. But what a great night of comedy. That's going to be so fun. And Lisa, you better drink again this year.
Of course I will.
She was smashed.
You were one of the highlights.
Yeah, you up, buddy.
Liquor you up and put you out on stage in front of a packed house. There's nothing funnier.
Me go.
I think she was on vacation, right?
That was my first day of vacation.
So she just figured, I'm not going to have to work for a while. I'm going to drink. And then she went out on stage. She was so good.
Anyway, great show. Get the details at kevinandbean.com. Just announced this morning. I think you definitely want to be there.
This headline from the New York Post seems unlikely, but it's sure funny if it's true. Marriage annulled after man discovered bride was bearded and cross-eyed.
What?
Now, I can't vouch for this, but apparently there was an Arab ambassador who annulled his marriage after discovering that his veiled wife-to-be had a beard and was cross-eyed.
Oh.
And he only saw her a couple of times, and then they signed the marriage contract, and then he went in for a kiss, and he got a mouthful of beard.
Oh.
And I'm telling you right now, a mouthful of beard is not what you want from a wife.
Oh,
although they are opening for giant inflatable beavers, so that's a good... I saw quite a bit of coverage on this story at the time, and I do believe that it is true. And it kind of gets us into the topic that we want to discuss here with you, and that is bad surprises after marriage. That's what we want to be talking about. Now, in his case,
he found out, if I recall correctly, at the ceremony slash reception. I mean, he had never kissed her right before the day of their wedding. She was they're both very traditional Muslim people. Right. So she was constantly covered in the burqa. I don't understand why he didn't notice the cross-eyed part, though, because even in a burqa, you can see a woman's eyes.
He demanded the contract be annulled and also called for the woman to pay him 500,000 dirhams or 87,000 pounds.
What?
Which is like what? $125,000,
$130,000, something like that.
Yeah. He had put on a huge wedding. That's why he wanted to be reimbursed for the wedding, because he said, "Look, how about a heads up? If you've got a beard, and you're cross-eyed. That's the type of thing. I don't know. In the interest of full disclosure, give me a heads up before the wedding."
Well, you can get rid of a beard, a little waxing.
You can't get rid of cross-eyed.
No,
though.
You can't get rid of that.
But I don't know how he didn't see that. That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't.
I don't know either.
But we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you have a story about being married to someone and then finding out something about them after the fact that you did not know. And I have heard tons of examples over the years. A very common one, by the way, and I just read a story like this just the other day about a woman who had been married for 4 years when she found out that her husband had a child from another relationship. It had never come up before.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Well, I mean, sometimes stuff like that doesn't come up. You know what I mean? Like,
there's just never a good time.
Hey, did I mention this is my son?
He's 12. I bet you're absolutely right, Lisa. I bet it's the type of thing that you don't want to say too early in the relationship because you're afraid it might be a deal breaker. And then at some point you get in too far where you can't say, "Hey, I know we've been dating for 6 months, but I never told you I have a kid."
Right.
And then once you're married,
then you just keep it quiet.
Yeah, it's got to be silent for life.
Right.
And then all of a sudden someone comes knocking on the door.
I mean, I'm sure that I read another story not too long ago about two virgins that got married, and mm-hmm. they were both very, very religious people, and it was very, very important to both of them that they only be with their marriage partner. And that sometime into the marriage, the guy found out that the woman had, in fact, had sex with somebody years ago that she, you know, basically he didn't know about. And now he's already married to this woman that he thinks is, you know, one and only for life, and now he's got to struggle with all of those. Well, do I know this person? Is this now still the person that I want to be with? And just went on and on and on from there. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff that can happen. Or there's unbelievable stuff that can happen, like this true story from England. Listen to this. British twins.
Yes.
You see where this story is going. Who had been separated at birth, learned they were related only after they had become husband and wife.
Nope.
The marriage has been annulled.
Wait a minute.
Really?
They were separated at birth. They were twins. They found each other, somehow randomly fell in love and got married?
Yes.
That's a bad surprise.
And then found out after the fact, oh, by the way, not only are we related, but we're brother and sister.
Gross.
Wow.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yes, it is.
I'd love to know some details on, was it that they were, you know, trying to have a child? Or, I mean, how did it come out that the blood tests were made to see that they were related? I don't know.
They just showed up at Thanksgiving together in the same place and went, what?
Wait a minute.
What are you
These
doing
are your
here?
Parents? These are my parents. So I don't know. So I think – so it runs the gamut here. It goes from bearded and cross-eyed to, oh, wait, you're my sister. So those are the kinds of stories we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. If anything happened to you that you were surprised by after you guys were already married, you found out something that they had going on currently, or you found out something in their past that you didn't know about.
Oh, I didn't tell you about my time in the pen?
I was just going to say,
Prison! Yes!
Yeah. You what?
I dated someone who I was, he didn't vote. I was like, why don't you vote? And he said, felon.
How long after you'd been dating him?
Like a year.
Felon, what was the felony?
It was drugs.
Yes. Yeah. And he didn't share?
Nope. Had no idea.
Come on now. No, I'm saying he didn't share drugs.
Oh, no, but that was before.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, that follows you forever.
Did he say it under his breath? Felon.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this, Lisa. I mean, it doesn't sound like this ended up being a very serious relationship or not, but how much would it have mattered had you found out sometime into a relationship that he was formerly a felon before you guys met?
What was the felony?
It would be nice to know.
What was the felony? That matters too.
He had embezzled from a company that he worked for to buy drugs.
Okay. All right. So no big deal.
No big deal at all.
All right.
He paid his, what is that?
His
I can't
debt
remember the
to
same.
Society?
Yes, that.
Yeah.
He did that.
Laura, Glenn, you guys hold on. 1-800-520-1067. We need to take a quick break and we'll come right back.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. In about 5 minutes, we'll tell you how you can win tickets today for Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness Comedy Concert that we just announced last hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we're talking about bad surprises after marriage at 1-800-520-1067. You guys are already married, and then you find out that he or she did what? That's where you got to fill in the blank. Let's try Laura. She is on line two, calling the Kevin and Bean Show today to kind of get us started. Hi, Laura. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
Hi,
thanks.
Hi.
Better for us than you. What happened?
Well, about 3 weeks after the marriage, the police come knocking on our door, arrest my, at the time, husband, haul him away. Police officer sets me down, looks me at the face, and says, you need to do a background check. Turns out he had been arrested before, and they were hauling him away that night for indecent exposure, public nudity, I don't know if I can say it, but pleasuring himself in the car in front of people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was fantastic. There was more, though. He... let's see. So that was the date of separation. He then.
All right, but let me ask you this, just because we don't have much time, Laura. Had these events happened while you guys were dating and you didn't know about it, or was it long?
There was a few times, and it was just like, oh, you know, I had been out of town, and you know, I got in a fight, and I got arrested. There was a couple of little things, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right?
Right.
Sure. How about that? So was that the deal breaker for you guys? You guys broke up as a result of that, or you did not?
It was, but then he moved home to Colorado, got arrested again, and has since been arrected for a third time.
Oh.
All right.
Good times.
He's a felon. Yeah, so I got it annulled, actually, in the state of California. It's quite a feat.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You have the
thank
best.
Thank you for calling. Thanks for holding on. Let's try Marie on line five. Bad surprises.
I'm sorry. Can you imagine going and dating her after that guy? Like the background check that would then happen? No one would pass.
No.
That's a good point. you almost don't. And in one hand, you kind of want to be next because you look so good.
Sure.
So clean. But on the other hand, you got to really jump through hoops to get there. That's true. All right. Where are we? We're
Marie.
At Marie, I think, on line five. Hi, Marie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd you find out?
Hi. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
2 weeks into our marriage, some lady knocked on the door carrying a baby, and it turned out that was my husband's baby.
Oh, there you go.
Great.
There you go.
And baby being the operative word, it was younger than a year?
Yeah. It was like younger than a year. It was an infant.
That's great.
Man.
Congratulations.
Well, when I was telling his sister how shocked I was, she wanted to know what was my reaction to finding out about Jonathan, and I said, who's Jonathan? And that was his other older kid.
Oh, dude.
Marie, are you still married?
Yeah, you know, 13 years later, we have two kids of our own.
You're kidding.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're married still to the dude who had a baby 2 weeks after you were married and had an older kid that you didn't know about.
Yeah, but both of the kids were born before we had met, so what could I do? It's not like he cheated on me to make those kids.
Wow.
Right. I got you. Right. But it's also the type of thing that, I don't know, he might have brought up at some point before you guys got married, hey, I've got all these other kids, right? If for no other reason, just financially, you'd want to know about
that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
You're a better person than I am, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Marie.
Fantastic.
Thank you
for the call. Hey, let's try Travis on line six. Let's hear from a guy on this call. Bad surprises after marriage. Travis, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What's up, Kevin, Bean, Lisa?
Hi.
So, I met this girl within a week. We got married.
Okay, first of all, that is a recipe for success right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we got married. She never met my family or anything. Family didn't come. I took her to my house. And I introduced her to my family. Then I introduced her to my sister. And it was really awkward because they looked at each other and just put their heads down. And after that night, she told me that them two, they hooked up about a year earlier. And they had a one-night stand.
That your new wife had hooked up with your sister?
With her. I never knew she was bisexual. I didn't know both of them were.
Wow.
So,
that's awesome.
I hope you didn't let that ruin your otherwise perfect relationship.
No, yeah,
I know, because you had 7 days invested in it at this point. You don't want to throw that out the window. Travis, let me ask you this. Because your sister's involved, does that somehow make it not hot, or were you able to look past that and still kind of enjoy it a little bit?
I tried, but every time I saw my sister,
that's a deal breaker right there.
Yeah, tough sister. All right. I wish we had time for more because we have so many great calls. Husband wants to be a transsexual. You find that after you're married. Found out he had fake teeth. I wish we had time to get to all these, but we don't. We do need to clear the deck.
Fake teeth.
because we want to give away some tickets for Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness concert, just announced last hour. Now we're talking about our friend Jimmy Kimmel and his band from the TV show Cleto and the Cleetones, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Bill Burr, Adam Carolla. They'll all be there raising money for charity. Tickets go on sale next weekend, pre-sale Thursday. You can become a street team member to buy those tickets early, or you can win them right now. What are we looking for here, Kevin?
Well, there's a guy that works at this radio station named Rodney, and he has an encyclopedic knowledge of comedy. You bring up the beginning of a joke, he can tell you the punchline to any joke ever told.
I didn't
That's
know
impressive.
That.
Super wow. impressive. So what we want from you is to call us at 1-800-520-1067 and tell us a joke. And if Rodney cannot come up with the punchline, I'm telling you right now, we're not going to give away any tickets, but if he can't, you'll win.
Okay.
That's
all right,
what we're looking
for. It has to be the type of joke with a punchline, then. It can't
Correct.
Be like a story joke or something like that. All right, so if you've got a joke, Rodney will know the punchline. If he doesn't, you have stumped Rodney, and you have won tickets before they go on sale for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give those away coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, just announced second annual Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, an all-star night of comedy at the Gibson Amphitheater with Jimmy Kimmel and Jay Moore and Joe Rogan and Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, Jeffrey
Joey
Ross.
Ramone? Joey Ramone.
No,
too,
no, Rodney. Yeah. All right, here's the thing. Rodney Bingenheimer,
Carlisle,
legendary Los Angeles disc jockey for 40 years.
All
at this
right.
point,
Welcome you're no Rodney on the Rock Show.
No, we're not doing your show. It's still
coming
up to me.
Next, Mars. He's going to be.
You're known for your music.
Some jokes.
Okay, you're known for the music that you play and promote. But
my
who
comedy.
Knew? Who knew you were so into comedy? I this is a surprise to me, Rodney.
I've been a comedy star for years. And people have been laughing at my radio show for
that is
40
true.
Years.
That is true.
All right.
So you God know man. every joke. Kevin says you have an encyclopedic memory for jokes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So listeners will call. They will set up the joke for you. You deliver the punchline. If you don't, they have stumped Rodney, and they will win tickets to Kevin and Bean's second annual April Foolishness. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, what?
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Rodney the Joke Machine.
It is Rodney Bingenheimer. He likes to tell a lot of jokes. You would not think that this dude is a really funny guy. You tell him any joke and he will tell you what the punchline is. And that's how he got his nickname, Rodney the Joke Machine.
He's Rodney the Joke Machine. The Joke Machine. He's Rodney.
All right.
I don't understand this contest.
Shalom.
Based on that.
Shalom.
Need more details.
Rodney, who is your favorite? Who's your favorite comedian before we go to the phone calls?
Thomas
here?
Dolby.
He's not a comedian at all. He's a musician.
He blinded me with comedy.
Okay. All right. Let's try
comedy.
Chris. Let's just take him in order. Let's just take him in order, starting with Chris on line two. Welcome to Stump Rodney. You give him the setup, he gives you the punchline. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Hi. All right. Hi. Why couldn't the kids get into the pirate movie?
Why couldn't the kids get into the pirate movie? Bruce Hornsby in the Range.
No.
Oh.
Is it Bruce Hornsby in the Range?
Nope.
And it is?
No, it's not.
God damn it.
Because it was rated R. For God's sakes, man.
Because,
do we want him? Do we
what?
Want this guy at our show?
You called. You should at least have the punchline when we go to you, Chris. For God's sakes. You're dumber than Rodney is.
Can we try that again?
No, we don't have that kind of time. All right, Chris. All right.
Hey, what are we doing? Are we doing a drawing for tickets? We have tickets for everybody who's
stumped. We have five pair. First five people to stump.
So, unfortunately, Chris just won the very first pair of tickets for April Foolishness.
Oh,
all right.
Something will never change.
Next up is Tim. Hi, Tim. Good luck to you. You're on with the great Rodney Bingenheimer. Stump Rodney. Go ahead.
Okay. What do you call a Mexican with no arms?
Pablo Cruz.
Is it Pablo Cruz?
No, it is Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. They don't have arms. Rodney, they don't have arms.
I'm offended.
Okay. Congratulations, you win.
Pablo Cruz.
No. Oh. No.
You were close, though. There could be a Mexican guy named Pablo, so you're on to something. All right, let's try Ryan, line four. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Playing for April Foolishness tickets. Tickets go on sale to the public Saturday, pre-sale Thursday. What's your joke for Rodney?
How's it going, Kevin and Bean? Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
What did Helen Keller call her dog?
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Is it Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
She named him
Okay. I'm offended.
I'm offended by that as well.
Yeah.
So, like, congratulations, you're going to the show.
Blind chicks.
Let's try. And they like you, oddly. Let's try Eric. Yeah, Eric.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa,
Hi.
What kind of movie do you see on a farm?
What kind of movie do you see on a farm? Rodney?
Sinead O'Connor.
Is it Sinead O'Connor?
It is not. It's a chick flick.
A chick flick.
Wow.
My 10-year-old wrote that.
Welcome to Highlights Magazine, ladies and gentlemen. Be here all week, indeed.
Be here all week.
All right, we only have time for one more. Let's make it Mike on line 8, please. Mike, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Good luck, Stump Rodney, although he's on fire today. Let's see what you can do.
I can't be stumped.
How do you wake up Lady Gaga?
How do you wake up Lady Gaga?
The Bangles.
Is it? The Bangles.
Poker face.
I don't like any of these people that we just let in. None of them.
All right.
I don't like Mike. I don't like Eric. I don't like Ryan. I don't like Tim. And I don't like Chris.
Well, too bad. We're stuck with them.
And they're the only 5 that are in the show. Thank you, Rodney.
He's Rodney, the joke machine. The joke machine. He's Rodney.
Longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Rob Zombie, singer, actor, director, is going to be on the program joining us in about 50 minutes or so. He's behind the CSI Miami episode that airs tonight. He's directing that. So see how he zombifies that coming up. Right now, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat, although he's making silly sounds at this point. Let's see if he can turn it around.
You kids making silly sounds, get off my lawn. Never have I seen something like this happen on television since The Monkees.
Wow.
But here is a TV show about people who get together and sing, becoming a real live group of people who get together and sing. The Glee Tour has just been announced.
The actors and actresses are going on tour?
Yes!
That doesn't surprise me at all. It's so popular.
They play a Glee Club on television. Now they're becoming an actual band of people who get together and sing.
Now, how much of the singing that they do on the show is the real actors? Are they all that good?
Yeah.
They're all that good, huh?
Yes.
That's impressive. Then they deserve to be able to go on tour.
And you know all the dancing that you see on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Them.
Yeah.
Well,
not puppets.
That I figured.
It's not puppets. A lot of people think it's puppets.
They don't.
Not puppets.
Wait, people think it's
a
puppets?
A lot of people think it's marionettes, but it's not marionettes. I'm telling you, not puppets.
Okay. Does the kid in the wheelchair have to be in the wheelchair for the live shows, too, or do they let him get up and walk finally?
They are severing his spine as we speak. That's what I'm doing over on the set.
That's sad.
That's dedication. That's what that is.
Wednesday, May the 18th, the Dodge Theater in Phoenix, Arizona, is when the tour kicks off. Lea Michele, who plays Rachel, of course. Corey Monteith, who plays Finn. Amber Riley, Chris Colfer, Kevin McHale, Jenna Ushkowitz.
Wow.
The whole gang will be singing and dancing up a storm on this tour. Here are your dates if you'd like to try to catch it in your neck of the woods. It kicks off in Phoenix. Then it's going to be at the Gibson Amphitheater here in Los Angeles on May 20th and 21st. Chicago at the Rosemont Theater on the 25th and 26th. And then New York City at the Radio City Music Hall. The kids are going to play Radio City. How about that? Two dates in May, the 28th and the 29th. You can buy tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
It's a phenomena, that's for sure.
Do, 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 do.
I mean, a phenomena, sorry.
Do, 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 do. You know, a lot of people are worried about what's going to happen to the cast of Nip Tuck now that their show's going off the air. Don't worry about them. They've already got new jobs.
They do? Yeah. All of them?
Well, two of them. Oh. Dylan Walsh and Jolie Richardson have both been picked up for pilots for next season. Dylan Walsh will play a alcohol, tobacco, and firearms agent on a new CBS show cleverly called ATF.
What does that stand for?
Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Hmm.
And Jolie Richardson will play a successful New York prosecutor on ABC's The Whole Truth, which I'm guessing is a law show.
It's probably a good guess.
They do not use puppets on that show, by the way.
Marionettes is what I hear.
No real actors.
How about that?
In other pilot news, Janine Garofalo has picked up a new pilot. She will play a nurse coordinator. She will play a nurse coordinator and operations manager for a mobile medical team that travels around the U.S. helping people get through life and death medical crises.
That sounds like a party.
I feel bad, but I cannot help the fact that Janine Garofalo is so bitter and grumpy that every time I hear about her being in a project other than her standing there in her serious glasses being bitter and grumpy, I am automatically not invited to that party.
That's my response, too.
I will not watch this program because she strikes me as dour.
Remember when she was funny?
And life is too short to spend time with the dour.
Every once in a while, you'll come across a Truth About Cats and Dogs or one of those movies that she was in back when she was an actress with a pulse and a heartbeat. And you go, wow, that's the same girl. It's shocking what's happened to her in recent years. George Bush killed her, didn't she?
That's true.
Didn't he? That's what it was. He put a heart, an arrow right through her heart.
Yeah. Oprah Winfrey tomorrow will have an in-depth interview with movie critic Roger Ebert.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here's the thing. We don't need to see Strokey Dick Clark on the New Year's Eve countdown. And we don't need to see Roger Ebert with no jaw have an interview with Oprah Winfrey. Don't need it. But he'll talk with a computer. I don't care. I don't care if he's going to talk with a computer. He has no jaw.
God.
He has half a head. I don't need to sit there and watch an hour-long interview with a dude with half a head.
Did you read his
piece
on him?
Screw you.
On
I don't need
Esquire.
To read anything.
Did you read
it? I don't want to see a man with no jaw on my television set.
But it's a fascinating journey that he's taken to get to this point, and his attitude is so good with all the setbacks he's had. I mean, he had a vein burst in his neck. He almost died. I mean, he's had so many things go wrong with him.
I'm sure
all
it makes a fascinating book. It'll make a fascinating book.
Fascinating interview, too, I bet, now that he has the proper software where he can actually respond to questions. I think it's going to be a very, very interesting
Does no one else watch movies? Are we out?
Is that why we're... Yeah, there's no more critics. Okay. Look. Dude, and I mentioned he has no jaw.
You did mention that, but does that mean he should never be allowed on television again?
Yes!
Does it,
What the hell's wrong with you? Yes, of course that's what it means.
All right,
hey,
what else?
Hey, sideshow boy. You know what? If I want to go see Medical Oddities, there's plenty of places. A lot of heads in jars I can go see at some museum someplace. I needed the half a head on my TV screen. Tell me about the Oscars.
What about? That's not why he's on. That's not why he's on.
Oh, so it doesn't say here he will be using it. He will use the voice machine to discuss his Oscar predictions.
Yeah, I'm not saying that that's
not garbage.
I'm not saying that's not part of it, but I'm saying it's his journey toward trying to get
His journey should have stopped at the door of the television studio. That's where the journey should have ended before he opened the door. That's where the journey should have been over.
What about that guy on CSI who's got no legs? Should he not be allowed on television, too?
Very different.
Why?
First of all, he wears prosthetic legs and wears pants.
Roger's doing the best he can with his face.
Is Roger going to wear a bag on his head? Then I'll watch. If he wears pants on his head, then I will watch.
If he wears pants on his head, I'm in as well.
Pants on his head. I'm just saying, too disturbing for television, especially daytime television. Not needed.
But it's such a
Where's
tragic story because...
Where's Laura Feldman now to tell people what not to put on the air?
It's so tragic, though, because his brain is still functioning. He's
all
still
right.
just
Listen.
As smart, has just as much to say, but he's not able to speak.
I just don't care at all.
It's a very sad story, that's all.
No, but
at
least...
But he can write. He does a column, right?
He writes all the time,
he
Lisa.
He can do that.
Every day he's writing in the Chicago Sun-Times. Got an article all the time. We can get everything
that
we need out of Roger by reading what he has to say. I don't need him to say, what? I think that Avatar will win. I don't need that for
now. We don't
an hour.
Care. Dude, we don't care. We don't care. Don't care, don't care, don't care.
Just
oh,
saying.
God, don't care, don't care.
Trotting the poor guy out like he's a
They took his
John
DVD
Merrick.
Commentaries and edited his voice together from those to make it sound like Roger Ebert, too. I'm looking forward to hearing the unveiling of the computer voice that sounds just like Roger Ebert.
That does sound like a great thing. We should have a viewing party.
You don't
all get
even know.
Or just drink.
You don't
That's
even
the
know.
Only way to watch a guy with no face. Honestly, just smash. Come on, Bean. How far have you gone away from the human civilization?
Bean is only about the freaks now. That's all he's got left.
No. Look, apparently Oprah thinks it's worthwhile. She's got to be thinking of her millions of fans and viewers also.
She also talked to the woman with no face. Remember that interview where she talked to Monkey McFace Meal?
I do, yes.
Monkey McFace Meal.
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't need to see that either. Didn't need to say her take that veil off. Didn't need to say
it. Rough.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Are there not enough people with faces anymore for Oprah to interview? Is that why she's leaving her talk show behind? Because she's running out of people with faces to talk to?
Oh, God.
We're down to just the faceless now. Who ain't left on the guest list? Nope, just a lot of people with no faces. All right, bring them in.
Then they rank them. He's got no ear.
All right, is that? That's not hideous enough.
Don't we have a guy who has no head, who's just neck, and we stick a microphone down his throat?
I would watch that.
That's just not good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Justin Bieber. It's right. Biebs Day. He's 16 years old today. Kesha with a dollar sign is 23. Jensen Ackles celebrates his 32nd birthday. Mark Paul Gosselaar from NYPD Blue is 36. Javier Bardem is 41. Ron Howard celebrates his 56th birthday. Alan Thicke from Growing Pains is 63 years old. And singer Roger Daltrey is 66 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, give me the greatest scream in rock and roll history, would you call?
Guys to play a Super Bowl or something. That'd be cool.
Saying it's hard to believe that that's the same guy that we saw, same little old man that we saw out at the Super Bowl halftime show. Anyway, that's the theme, of course, from CSI Miami, which is back with an all-new episode tonight on CBS at 10. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Rob Zombie behind the camera directing that episode that we're going to see tonight, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Rob, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm good. How you guys doing?
Good. Thank
great
you.
To talk to you. We thought of you first thing this morning when we came on and we started recapping that USA-Canada hockey game. We thought, I wonder what kind of mood Rob's going to be in today. I wonder if he's going to be okay. How are you feeling?
That was brutal, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I watched it in an airport in Tampa, Florida, and apparently everybody else in the lounge was Canadian.
Oh wow.
Ouch.
And that goal went in. There was a lot of screaming, and it wasn't coming from me.
Yeah, those of you that didn't watch, it went into overtime, and then Canada won. And then
the
most brutal part was that America had to stand out there on the ice and just watch the celebration for like an hour.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Yeah. We were talking earlier, then we are going to talk about CSA. I mean, we were talking earlier about it. In the history of the Olympics, I don't think you've ever seen athletes sadder to receive their silver medal as those Americans were. They were standing there as if they had just all been kicked in the nuts, just trying to get through the ceremony and get the hell off the ice. It was really hard to watch.
Well, hockey's brutal like that. I mean, how hard do they play? They win every game, and then there's one split-second mistake, and it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Sucks.
All right, well, the NHL season returns
like
today.
Curling. So
same thing, exactly. Let's talk CSI Miami. First of all, Rob, you haven't directed a lot of TV, right? I mean, is this first time?
TV.
Huh? Yeah, that's what I thought. How did this happen?
Well, a buddy of mine is a producer on the show. He was he worked on House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, and he's been working on CSI for 5 years. And he kept calling me every year saying, you got to get in here. You got to direct an episode. You'll love it. You'll love it. Come on down. And every year I was either on tour during their shooting season or making a movie, and this went on for about 5 years until finally this year. I had a brief window. I go, I have this month off. And they're like, perfect. We'll fit you in. And that's how it happened.
And you said, I need sleep.
Yeah.
is this a show that you had been watching all along the way? I mean, were you a fan of it, and that's part of why you wanted to do it, or did it just seem like a good way to stretch yourself?
It was just an opportunity. I had seen a couple episodes, but I never really watched it. I mostly always heard about it because my mom loves it. So she was always like, oh, CSI Miami. But, and in fact, I just talked to her. She's like, oh, we're seeing the commercial everywhere. All my friends are excited, you know.
That's finally, the first thing she's, right?
Yeah, first thing that she can publicly admit to her friends that her son has something to do with.
Yes, my son is Rob Zombie, and he is directing CSI.
Now it's suddenly cool. Yeah, but no, it was just one of those things that just came up, so I just thought, but I hadn't really watched the show before. I'd take a quick course in watching all the episodes so I could figure out what the heck was going on, but
yeah. Now they don't bring a guy like, I mean, let's face it, you're a director who has a unique point of view. I mean, there's a theme that kind of runs through everything that you've done up to this point. Did they want you to kind of to zombify CSI Miami, or did they just bring you in there because they wanted it to look like every other CSI Miami, and they just know you're a good director and you can do that?
No, they definitely wanted me to put my spin on it because it would have been a lot less trouble to just bring in one. Because they have sort of a rotating group of directors who do the shows, and it would have been a lot less trouble to just have one of them do it because obviously if I come in there, I want to do this, I want to do that. And so, no, they definitely wanted me to mess with it, but it was sort of like a 50-50 thing. I know I couldn't totally change it. I mean, the show is pretty established for 8 years.
So right.
You know, in one episode, you can't, like, totally throw it out the window, but... The biggest difference is our episode takes place in L.A. You know, we shoot David Caruso to L.A., and the whole thing takes place there. And basically all the guest stars were all movie actors, which they don't normally do. You know, Malcolm McDowell, Michael Madsen. So that adds a really different twist to the episode.
I can't believe CSI Miami has been on for 8 years. In my mind, it's still the new one. I mean, I still, you know, compared to CSI Las Vegas, which has been on even longer, it's crazy that it's been on that long. Now, how'd you get along with David Caruso? How'd you find him to direct?
You know, I didn't really even do that much directing with him. We would sort of work out the scene, but I figured that this guy's been playing the same character for 8 years in a very, very specific way. What am I really going to do with him?
Yeah. Except
let him be who he is. I mean, I had more fun with the new characters, and there's a couple characters that are reoccurring that you know, actually Malcolm McDowell's character may be reoccurring.
Oh, great.
So that was a little more, there was more room to play with it. And some of the other actors, there's a, you know, Eddie Cibrian, who plays this Jesse Cardoza character. We had fun. This is it's very much about his character in this episode, the whole mystery of him. So, you know, there's a lot of room to play with some of the other stuff. But, you know, David Caruso is kind of like the rock that the show is built around. So you kind of have to leave that foundation intact.
Is it in the script someplace that there has to be a close-up of him taking off his sunglasses in every episode?
I don't really think that needs to be in the script. That's just going to happen. Okay. You know what? It's just like one of those things. We can just sit back and relax because this is going to happen whether you want it to or not.
Gotcha. Exactly. This is Rob
Zombie. I'm usually
Zombie.
Not a fan of hearing those words, but okay.
This is Rob Zombie on the phone. We're talking about tonight, CSI Miami at 10 on CBS. Hey, let me ask you one more TV versus movie question, Rob, and that is, I imagine there are a lot of rules about things you can't do on television where you would never think twice about how much blood to use in a movie scene that you're shooting. But on TV, I guess they have rules on stuff like that for these shows, right?
Oh, they have rules on everything. I mean, and it was funny working with people that normally do movies like Michael Madsen. You could tell that when you get into a scene, everybody always wants to, like, you know, to punctuate a scene, go to a certain word that you can't say on TV.
Right.
Or, like, just things. He's like, oh, you know, he normally would smoke. He, like, wanted to smoke, and I wouldn't let him smoke. And everything was...
Can't have a beer.
Everything was a problem, yeah. I mean, you can get away with quite a bit, but not compared to a movie. Well, in a movie, you can pretty much do anything. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, especially you, the kind of director that you are, where you're bringing your own story, or, you know, you're able to do everything you want to fulfill your vision. That's why I wondered if it was limiting. But it sounds like a good experience. Is this something you'd do again for other shows on TV if you had the chance, Rob?
Possibly, if something came up that I was really into. I mean, it was limiting, but I knew it would be limiting. So when you know that, you work within the boundaries, and you're kind of happy to do it. So it was cool. Yeah, I mean, if another show came up, I mean, there was one time maybe talk of doing Californication came up one time.
Oh, that's such a good show.
So you never, I mean, that show's obviously that you can stretch the boundaries way further on that show. So
yeah,
absolutely. Cool. Well, you're a terrific director, and we always enjoy catching up with you on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll look forward to CSI Miami tonight at 10 on CBS. Thanks, Rob. Have a great day, dude.
Right on.
Thank you. Thank God Ralph is here to save me from the conversation I've been listening to the last 5 years. Now I know how you guys feel.
5 years? You mean 5 minutes?
No, it seems like five years. Did you see the YouTube video, Ralph, that they're all cackling about the reporter with the accident?
Yeah.
It's no good, right?
No.
Okay. By no good, even awesome.
No, it's not even awesome.
Well, it's funny.
It's mildly amusing. But it's not severe enough to be like, awesome, you know? It's like, okay, I get it, you know.
I would rather watch Roger Ebert with no face than
I know
watch
you
what
would.
Happens to all that right. poor woman's
Look,
white
pick. Pick a side, Ralph.
Everybody's got their things, man.
Pick a side.
I'm Switzerland.
One of the other.
I am building cuckoo clocks and making chocolate while you people are fighting over BS.
No, she was making chocolate. That's the problem with the whole thing.
Speaking of Roger right. Ebert, by the way.
yes?
So Bean says Roger Ebert's old film. They're using Roger Ebert's old film commentaries to provide the voice for his computer talking machine.
Right.
Well, mm-hmm. I hope one of the movies was Face Off, says listener Mike. Listener Mike. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that email. Yeah, I hope that's one of them, too. That'd be very good. That'd be useful. That'd be a lot of the words in there he needs, probably, in that commentary.
Speaking last hour about Roger Ebert's appearance on the Oprah show tomorrow, where he unveils his new voice. And
his old face.
And his by new voice, you mean computer.
Yeah.
It's very sad. All right, we got time for one more look at the showbiz beat before we go for today. What's going on, Ralph?
It's so sad. Bean can't wait to tune in.
Yeah, he's going
to
watch it.
He's going to make some popcorn because and just sit down in front of that screen and just stare at that freak show.
Like an hour early.
Woohoo! That's exciting.
All right. Now, first of all, I would be interested from a medical standpoint, no matter who it was, but I also happen to be a
huge
Roger Ebert fan.
Of course you would.
No, Bono, as you guys remember, I'm an enormous Roger Ebert fan. I've been a fan of his forever. I sent him a Get Well card when he first got sick, and you guys mocked that.
Good work. Nice work with that card.
I'm just saying I like the dude very much. I think he's a very smart, insightful man.
Do me a favor. Don't send me any cards if I get sick, will you? Because your turnout is not so good.
Do you guys know anyone who sends celebrity cards when bad things happen?
Do you know anyone who's a fan of a movie critic?
He's a great writer.
He might be. No
He's
one's
a
arguing
great writer.
That. Yeah, that's fantastic.
He won a Pulitzer Prize for film criticism, for God's sake.
Write
He's
more.
That good.
More writing, that's good. Less flapping of the no jaw face on television.
God.
Less flipper face, more writing is what I'm saying.
He's
writing
great.
Good, don't need a jaw to write.
And he's already good at it.
Right.
And he's got a built-in audience for his writing. Win-win.
He's like, he's already set.
Win-win-win.
Doesn't need to be on my television set for an hour showing me his gruesomeness.
Here's Ralph changing the topic now with more.
This is what everybody's been waiting for. Yeah,
while you're at it, keep him off my TV, too, at midnight on New Year's Eve. Lindsey Vonn.
Across the United States right now is echoing a two-word response. No thanks.
Lindsey Vonn. There's a person I want more on my television.
Yeah. All right.
You know what she has? Jaw.
She does have a jaw, among other things.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's going to be on Law & Order. Just got a gig on Law & Order playing a jury foreman. Anyone?
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if she can act or not.
Guess we'll find out.
But she's purdy.
Yes.
She's on the return of the Leno Tonight Show tonight as well, by the way.
Where else? Give me someplace else.
I think that's all we got.
I can't go there.
Lindsay, but, she's used to crashing, so I think it's good for her to be
because tonight's show is going to be a wreck.
Yeah. Let's count it down. 20, 19, 16, 17, 9, 12, 10, 4, 14. Happy New Year! 7, 6, 8, 11, 11, 18, 5, 3, 2, 20. Happy New Year!
Sad.
You get two New Years with Dick.
That's true.
Holy mackerel.
You know, as bad as Dick sounded?
Yeah.
Better than Roger. They should have Roger counting down next time with the Shorty McHair dye. What's his name? The kid who works with Dick Clark.
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
Shorty McHair dye?
That's what they should bring
How
up.
Do you forget Ryan Seacrest's name, by
he's
the way.
Not. What's he done lately? He's not even working anymore, is he?
That's true.
Pull them all out. Get the girl who the monkey ripped her face off and get Dick Clark. Get Roger
okay.
Ebert.
Right.
Get the model who had the boyfriend who threw acid in her face. She wears the plastic hockey mask.
Nate Dogg.
Get Lady Dogg. Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Let's get them all out. Let's just give in.
Just
people.
A big circus
let's
freak show.
Let's just give in and just admit we're just a society of gawking, looky-loo, freak show lovers. And just let's just let it all hang out. What do you say, people?
It was practically the circus at that point.
Yes. Harrison Ford says he hates being a celebrity. There's nothing good about being famous, he says. You always think, if I'm successful, then I'll have opportunities. But you never figure the cost of fame will be a total loss of privacy. That's incalculable. What a burden that is for anyone, he says.
Talk to Harrison Ford.
It was unanticipated, and I've never enjoyed it. Sure, you can get a table that you want at a restaurant. It can get you a doctor's appointment. What's that worth? Nothing.
Wow.
Take it easy, dude. Somebody forcing him to be a movie star?
You know why he's in it, Kevin? I'm in it for the money. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. This is just my job.
Is that what he says? I'm in it for the money?
Yep.
Wow. He's at the level, though, where he's making tens of millions of dollars for each movie now, right?
Yes. Yes, even when they're about finding a cure for Brendan Fraser's kids and no one goes. He still gets millions of dollars.
That was out for a day and a half.
Yes, it was.
Not to him, B. Not worth it. Hates it. Not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's incalculable. What a burden. Oh, I feel bad for Harrison Ford. Now I feel bad for Harrison Ford.
But I thought
Ebert had it bad, but apparently Harrison Ford, he's the one who's really suffering.
But
like a concentration camp.
He's not living in Hollywood and going to all the, you know, the hot spots on Robertson where the paparazzi follow. I mean, is he basically living on a farm in Colorado or something like that, kind of out of the public eye most of the time?
What a burden.
He only has to really surface for publicity.
Oh, it's incalculable.
No, I sure hope he doesn't have to make any more movies.
Yeah, I hope not, too. I think that's the last thing any of us want.
A
Don't high-five him for that. He alleyed his own oop. He alleyed his own oop.
I did alley my own oop. That's true.
Yeah, but a lot of times it was it. Gee, I hope no one calls me Mr. Know-It-All.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
No, someone high-fived me. That's what Kevin just did.
Yeah, but a lot of times Kevin will go, what does Dr. Phil have to say about that? And it's Oprah going like, I have a boner. It never makes sense. He got it right this time. Come on.
Thank God this is Friday.
Because we have made spent bad choices.
We've all spent way too much time together.
It's
this
been
week.
A long week. You're right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Justin Bieber is 16 years old today. Mike is surprisingly silent and covering up his nuts because he knows Kevin would smack him if he made any more girlish squealing noises like what he's been doing when I announced that birthday all day today. Kesha, with a dollar sign, is 23 years old. Jensen Ackles, best name in show business, by the way.
That is a good name.
Ackles. He's on Supernatural. He's 32 years old. Mark Paul Gosselaar. One of my old co-stars from NYPD Blue. Good guy, that Mark Gosselaar.
Nice man.
Guess he's probably known for Saved by the Bell, too. But we don't bring that up much.
You and he don't?
Me, well, we don't when we hang out. Javier Bardem is 41 years old today. Tim Daly from Wings is 54. Director Ron Howard is 56. You know, they say he's still working on the Arrested Development feature film.
The movie? Yeah. I hope.
We still have hope. Alan Thicke from Growing Pains is 63 years old today, and Roger Daltrey from The Who, now in Who's Left, is 66 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have tickets for you to go to Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, which we announced earlier this morning, which is our friend Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Moore, Joe Rogan, Aziz Ansari, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Adam Carolla, Bill Burr, and Jimmy Kimmel's house band, Cleto and the Cletones.
Just added Roger Ebert.
That is not correct.
We're doing some stand-up.
We have that tomorrow. We have Ask a Cop tomorrow. Ooh. And we have gold medalist Shaun White in our studio.
What? How about that?
Tomorrow morning.
He's coming
what?
In.
Coming into our studio.
Is he going to bring the medals?
I hope so.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Brick by Boring Brick, the latest from Paramore. Also, Incubus, Nine Inch Nails, Blind Melon, Chevelle, and more next on K-Rock.